Hobbit.
In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit.
Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole, nor yet a dry, sandy, bare hole. My hole was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort.
It had a perfectly round door painted green, which opened onto a tunnel-shaped hall, with paneled walls and floors tiled and carpeted, and lots of pegs for hats and coats.
But I'm very fond of visitors, you see.
And he was quite well-to-do. The long hall wound on and on, going into the side of the hill. And many little doors opened out of it. No going upstairs for the hobbit. Bedrooms, bathrooms, cellars, pantries, lots of these. Kitchens, dining rooms, all were on the same floor.
Yes. By the way, my name is Baggins, B-A-G-G-I-N-S, Bilbo Baggins. At your service and your family's?
Yes, I suppose hobbits need some description nowadays, since they have become so rare. Hobbits were smaller than dwarves.
Oh, yes, I think we may be smaller than dwarves, but at least we don't have those silly beards.
They're inclined to be fat in the stomach.
Well built, I think.
Very well, very well. They're inclined to be well built. And dressed in bright colors, chiefly green and yellow. They wear no shoes because their feet grow natural leathery soles and thick brown hair like the stuff on their head, which is curly. They have long, clever brown fingers. Good-natured faces. And laugh. Fruity laughs.
Especially after dinner.
Which they have twice a day when they can get it.
Yes. Yes, well, my mother was the famous Belladonna Took, one of the three remarkable daughters of the old Took, the head of the hobbits who lived across the water. And she met my father.
Yes, yes. There is little or no magic about them. But it has always been said that long ago, one or other of the Tooks had married into a fairy family.
Uh-huh.
Once in a while, members of the Took clan would go and have adventures.
Mm. It's not, of course, that Belladonna Took ever had any adventures. I mean, after she married my father.
Although it is probable that Bilbo got something a bit strange in his makeup from the Took side. Something that only waited for a chance to come out.
One morning, long ago, in the quiet of the world, Bilbo was standing at his door after breakfast, smoking an enormous, long wooden pipe that reached nearly down to his neatly brushed woolly toes, when Gandalf came by.
I saw an old man with a tall blue hat, a long gray cloak, a silver scarf, over which his long white beard hung down below his waist, and immense black boots. The sun was shining, the grass was very green, and I was feeling extra friendly. And all unsuspecting, I greeted the stranger cheerily.
Good morning.
What do you mean? Do you wish me a good morning, or mean that it is a good morning, whether I want it or not? Or that you feel good this morning? Or that it is a morning to be good on?
Well, I'll all of them at once. If you have a pipe about you, sit down, have a fill of my tobacco. We've got all the day before us.
You may have all day, but I do not. I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure I'm arranging. And it's very difficult to find anyone.
I should think, in these parts. We are plain quiet folk, and we have no use for adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things make you late for dinner. You might try over the hill or across the water. Good morning.
What a lot of things you do use good morning for. Now you mean that it won't be good until you've got rid of me.
Not at all, my dear sir. No. Let me see. Did I know your name?
Yes, my dear sir, but I know your name, Mr. Bilbo Baggins. I am Gandalf.
Gandalf, yes. Gandalf, good gracious me. Look, the man who used to make such particularly excellent fireworks. I remember those. Oh, I do beg your pardon. I had no idea you were still in business.
Where else should I be? Well, to say, I'm pleased to find that you remember something about me, even if it is only my fireworks. Indeed, for your old grandfather Took's sake, and for the sake of your mother, Belladonna, I will give you what you asked for.
I beg your pardon?
I haven't asked for anything.
Yes, you have. Twice now. Mm-hmm. My pardon. Oh. I give it to you.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
I will go so far as to send you on this adventure. Very amusing.
No,
very good for you. And profitable, too. Very likely, if you ever get over it.
If I ever get... Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. I don't want any adventures. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, not today. Good morning.
I have all...
Yes, but please, come to see. Come to see, you know. I mean, any time you like. Why not come tomorrow? Yes, that's right. You come to tea tomorrow. Goodbye.
Gandalf was left standing outside. After a while, he stepped up, and with the spike on his staff, he scratched a sign on the Hobbit's green front door. Then, he strode away.
The next morning, I had almost forgotten about Gandalf. I don't remember things very well unless I put them down on my engagement tablet. The day before, I'd been too flustered to do anything of the kind. And it wasn't until just before tea time that I remembered.
Gandalf! Tea! Oh, I must get another cup and saucer. Coming.
I'm so sorry to have kept you.
Good afternoon. Dwalin, the dwarf.
The dwarf, oh.
At your service, excuse me.
Hang your cloak on the plate. My name is Bilbo Baggins, B-A-double-D... Oh, yes, at your service.
Is that tea ready in there?
Yes, I was just going to...
These cakes look delicious. I'll have one or two, if I may.
Oh, please do. Have three, if you like. Excuse me. Ah, good afternoon, Mr.
I see Dwalin's cloak hanging in your hall. I put mine next to it. Shall I?
Yes.
There. Balin, at your service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Balin.
Yes. Come in here and have some tea.
A little beer would suit me better, if it's all the same to you, my dear sir.
Well,
I don't mind some cake, some seed cake, if you have any.
Lots. Go on in, yes.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, Gandalf for sure this time. What can I do for you, my dwarves?
Tea, at your service. And freely.
Oh, at yours and your family's.
Let us join the throng.
Throng? I don't like a sound of that.
Come on, bring your cloak. Ah, I can smell fresh-cut bread and butter.
Yes?
Dorrit, at your service.
Norrit,
at your service.
Oh, yes. Dorrit,
at your service.
Oh,
in, at your service.
Dorrit,
at yours and your...
Oh, well, I suppose I'd better get out some more cups and saucers and plates and knives. Oh, that's more dwarves. Mr. Gandalf. Come. Oh, come, Bilbo, it's not like you to keep friends waiting on the doorstep and then open the door like a pop gun.
Keep friends?
Let me introduce Bifor, Bofor, and Bumbo.
At your service.
And especially Taurine Oakenshield. Bilbo Baggins. Oh, at yours and your family.
Well, shall we go in? I think we must be the last to arrive.
The last? Yes, of course. Fascinating the bum of these dwarves. Mr. Gandalf, why have you brought...
Bilbo, you must not speak disrespectfully of these 13 dwarves, especially of Taurine.
Who? Oh?
He is the great Taurine Oakenshield, grandson of their last king under the mountain.
King?
Come, let us join the merry gathering.
Yes.
Dwarves eat and talk about mines and gold and... Trouble with goblins and the depredations of dragons and lots of other things which I didn't understand. I didn't want to. They sounded much too adventurous. My appetite was quite taken away.
That was a very good tea, Mr. Baggins.
Let's see for weeks.
Oh, thank you, man. I suppose you will all stay to supper.
Of course! And after. Taurine Oakenshield, son of Thrain, gladly accepts your kind invitation. We shall not get through the business till late, so first let's have some music. I trust you've all brought your instruments. Go get them. On board. Please. right, now sit down, everybody. Sit down. Buddy. Ready. Now for our song. Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and cavern cold, we must away at break of day to seek the pale enchanted
gleaming golden horn. They shaped and wrought, and light they caught, to hide in gems on hills of sword. The bells were ringing in the dale, and men were with faces pale, the dragon's ire, fierce than fire, laid low their towers and houses gray.
As they sang, I felt the love of beautiful things made by cunning and by magic arise within me. A fierce and jealous love. The desire of the hearts of dwarves. Oh, it must have been something toothish waking up inside me. For I wished to go and see the great mountains, and to see pine trees and waterfalls, and to carry a sword instead of a walking stick. Through the window, I could see the stars in a dark sky, and I thought of the jewels of the dwarves in their dark caverns. Suddenly, in the wood beyond the water, a flame leapt up. Well, probably somebody lighting a wood fire. And I thought of plundering dragons settling on my quiet hill and kindling it all to flames. Ugh.
Where are you going, Baggins?
What about a little light?
We like the dark.
Dark for dark business.
And there are many hours before dawn.
Oh, you see, of course. Of course. Oh! I'm so sorry.
Let Taurine speak.
Gandalf, dwarves, Mr. Baggins, we are met together in the house of our friend and fellow conspirator. This most excellent and audacious hobbit.
Audacious?
May the hair on his toes never fall out. All praise to his wine and his ale. We are met to discuss our plans, our ways, means, policy, and devices. To the estimable Mr. Baggins, and perhaps to one or two of our younger dwarves, the exact situation at the moment may require a little brief explanation.
We shall soon, before the
break of day, start on our long journey. A journey from which some of us, perhaps all of us, except our friend and counselor, the ingenious wizard Gandalf, may never return.
Never return?
It is a solemn moment. Our object is, I take it, well known to all of us.
Who never return?
Excitable little fellow. Yes, funny, fits, but he is one of the best. As fierce as a dragon in a pinch.
Ah! But will he do, do you think?
Do what, Gloin?
Well,
This is all very well for you to say this hobbit is fierce, but one shriek like that in a moment of excitement would be enough to wake the dragon and all his relatives and then kill a lot of us. Yes. I think it sounded more like fright than excitement. As soon as I clap eyes on the little fella bopping and popping on the mat, I had my doubts.
Glory. Let's have no more arguments.
Arguments? All I want
to say. You all asked me to find a 14th for your expedition, and I chose Mr. Baggins.
Yes.
There is a lot more in him than you guess, and a deal more than he has any idea of himself. Hmm? You may, or possibly, all live to thank me.
But
yes.
If you really think that,
let anyone say that I chose the wrong man or the wrong house, and you can stop at 13 and have all the bad luck you like, or go back to digging coal. No more argument.
Yes. First of all, I should like to know a little bit more about things.
Things?
Yes, things. I mean about the gold and the dragon and all that, and how it got there, and who it belongs to, and so on. And further.
Oh, bless me, didn't you hear us, huh? Haven't we been talking about all this for hours?
Yes, well, all the same, your Taureen, yes. I should like it all plain and clear. I mean, I should like to know about risks and out-of-pocket expenses, time required, remuneration, so forth.
Oh, very well. Long ago, in my grandfather's time, our family was driven out to the far north and came to a mountain called the Lonely Mountain. There they mined and tunneled and made huge halls and workshops. And in addition, I believe they found a good deal of gold and a great many jewels, too. They grew immensely rich and famous. My grandfather was king under the mountain and was treated with great reverence by mortal men of the merry town of Dale. It was undoubtedly the gold and jewels which brought the dragon to the mountain and to Dale. Dragons steal treasures wherever they can find them and guard their plunder as long as they live, which is practically forever. There were lots of dragons in the north in those days, and one was a most especially greedy, strong, and wicked dragon called Smaug. Yes, Smaug. One day he flew up in the air and came south. The first we heard of it was a noise like a hurricane coming from the north, and the pine trees in the mountain creaked and cracking in the wind. We saw the dragon settle on the mountain in a spout of flame. And then he came down the slope, setting the woods all afire. By that time, all the bells were ringing in Dale, and the warriors were arming. The dwarves rushed out of their great gate. But there was the dragon waiting for them. None escaped that way. After that, there were no dwarves left alive inside the mountain. And the dragon kept all their wealth for himself. The only ones to escape were those of us who happened to be outside at the time. Since then, we have had to earn our livings as best we could up and down the lands, often sinking as low as blacksmith's work, huh? And even coal mining. And even now, when I will allow we have a good bit laid by and are not so badly off, we still mean to get back our stolen treasure, huh? And to bring back our curses to Smaug, if we can.
Yes, well, a little light now. I think. I want you all to look at something.
I'll get a lamp.
No need. My staff will serve for purpose.
Your staff?
Certainly. Naren Edrayatharmen.
Oh!
Now, everyone, what do you make of this?
It's a map of the mountain.
It is indeed, Gloin. A plan of the Lonely Mountain. And it was made by your grandfather.
Let me see. I don't see that this is going to help us much. I remember the mountain well enough and the lands around where the dragons bred.
There is one thing about the mountain that you do not know, and that is the secret entrance. Look at these runes marked here.
Runes, Gunnar?
Runes are the ancient letters of a half-forgotten language. Mm. Now, that rune marks the secret entrance to a hidden passage.
So that's how my father and grandfather escaped from the dragon. How did you get hold of this map, Gandalf? Why did it not come down to me, the rightful heir?
I did not
get hold of it. I was given it. Your grandfather was killed, you remember, in the mines of Moria by a goblin.
Yes, the goblin, yes.
And your father went away on the 21st of April, 100 years ago, last Thursday, and has never been seen by you since.
True.
Your grandfather gave this map to your father before he went away to the mines of Moria.
Yeah?
After your grandfather was killed, your father went to try his luck and recover the treasure. And lots of adventures of the most unpleasant sort he had. But he never got near the Lonely Mountain.
And where did you find him?
How he got there, I don't know. But I found him a prisoner in the dungeons of the Necromancer. I tried to save your father, Taurin, but it was too late. He had completely lost his wits and had forgotten everything except the map. The only thing your father wished was for his son to read the map. Now, I've shown you the secret entrance.
It may have been secret once, but how do we know it's secret any longer? Old Smaug has lived there long enough to find out everything there is to know about those caves.
That may be so, but what it says on the map, I should guess there's a closed door which has been made to look exactly like the side of the mountain. That is the usual dwarves' method, is it not, Taurin?
Yeah, quite right.
Also, Taurin, I forgot to mention that with the map, your father gave me this key.
A key?
Here. Take it.
It is of silver and most curiously wrought. Is it the key to the secret door?
Perhaps. Keep it safe.
Indeed, I will. Now things begin to look more hopeful. We must get on and make some plans. I think we should go east. As quiet and careful as we can as far as the Long Lake. After that, trouble might begin.
That would be no good.
Why not?
It would be useless. To face Smaug without a mighty warrior. I tried to find one, but all the warriors are busy fighting one another in distant lands.
Oh?
That is why I settled on burglary, especially when I realized the existence of the secret side door. And here is our little Bilbo Baggins, the burglar, the chosen and selected burglar.
Burglar?
If I say you are a burglar you are, or will be when the time comes.
Oh, very well then. Supposing burglar expert gives us some ideas suggestions.
Yes, well,
well, speak up, eh?
Well, don't you know, I think we've talked long enough for one night, if you see what I mean. What about bed? And an early start and all that? I will give you a good breakfast before you go.
Before we go, you mean, Bilbo Baggins?
Huh?
Before we go...
I went to sleep with the dwarf's song running round in my head. It gave me very uncomfortable dreams.
It was long after the break of day when the little hobbit woke up, put on his dressing gown, and went into the kitchen.
That's better. I think, just one more piece of toast, I think. And then...
My dear sir.
Oh, gone down.
Whenever are you going to come? What about that early start?
Early start?
Yes,
you are having breakfast, or whatever you call it, at 10:30. The dwarves left you the message because they couldn't wait.
Message? What message? What are you talking
great
about?
Great Oliphant, you ought to tell yourself this morning. I can tell that you haven't dusted the mantelpiece.
Dusted the mantelpiece? Oh. I don't know what that's got to do with it. I've had enough trouble with all the washing up for 14.
If you had dusted the mantelpiece, you would have found this under the clock.
Come, Sam. Oh, a note. On my notepaper, too. Taurin and Company to Bertie Bilbo, greeting. For your hospitality and for your offer of professional assistance, our thanks and grateful acceptance. Terms, cash on delivery, up to and not exceeding 1/14th of total profits. Hmm. If any, yes. All travelling expenses guaranteed, funeral expenses to be defrayed by us. Funeral expenses? I ask. Or our representatives if occasion arises. Thinking it unnecessary to disturb your esteemed repose, we have proceeded in advance to make preparations. And shall await your respected person at the Green Dragon in Bywater at 11 a.m. sharp. Trusting that you will be punctual. We have the honour to remain yours deeply, Taurin and Company.
That leaves you just 10 minutes. You'll have to run.
No time for it.
No time for that. Off you go.
To the end of his days, Bilbo could never remember how he found himself outside, without a hat or walking stick or any money. He left his breakfast unfinished, had put his keys into Gandalf's hand, and found himself running as fast as his furry feet would carry him, down the lane, past the mill, and across the water.
Yes, very puffed I was, too, when I got to Bywater on the stroke of 11, and then found that I was without my pipe and tobacco, and without a pocket handkerchief.
Bravo,
Mr. Baggins. We've just finished loading the ponies. Oh, ponies? But mine, I've never ridden a pony in my life.
You'll soon get used to it. A few days.
Oh, no, no.
Give us a hand,
Oh, good God. I've all over hurt myself. Dear, in any case, I'm afraid I've left my pocket handkerchief behind. And my hat. And I haven't got any money.
Yeah, you'll have to manage without a good many things before you reach journey's end, my little friend. As for a hat, I have a spare cloak and hood in my luggage.
Oh, how convenient.
Yes, Gandalf.
There you are, Bilbo. My pipe, yes. And my tobacco. Very sensible of you, Mr. Gandalf.
Some pocket handkerchief.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And now, the adventure starts. My friends, off we go.
Yes, but where, Torrin?
Where, my little hobbit? Why, there. Back again. Far over the misty mountains cold,
to dungeon deep and cavern cold, we must await a break of day, to sleep the pale and dungeon cold.
Friends, off we go!
Yes, but where, Torrin?
Where, my little hobbit? Why, there. Back again. Far over the misty mountains cold,
to dungeon deep and cavern cold, we must away.
And they rode along very merrily all day.
Yeah, except, of course, when we stopped for meals. And although these didn't come quite as often as I would like, I began to feel that perhaps adventures weren't so bad after all.
Time when they came to places where people spoke strangely and sang songs which Bilbo had not heard before. The roads grew worse, and inns were rare and not good. Also the weather, which had often been as good as May can be, even in tales and legends, took a turn for the worse.
Cold hard ponies! It's growing dark, my friends. The wind is rising. We can't reach an inn for hours, perhaps not at all. So we must stop here for the night. Dismount, everyone!
Where shall we get a night catch to sleep on?
We probably shan't, Barlin. We shall just have to make do.
Perhaps Gandalf can help us. Where is he?
I thought he was with you. That's Barlin! Have you seen Gandalf?
No, Torrin, I haven't seen him for 2 hours.
Achille, Feely, Joel, have you? I wonder where he's got to.
Just when a wizard would have been most useful, too.
Torrin, over there, through the trees, a light.
Where? Oh, yes, I see it. see. It looks like a fire.
Maybe it's talking, no, it is a fire.
Let's go and see.
I think Mr. Baggins ought to go and explore the light. After all, he is the burglar. Gandalf said so.
I know he said so, but...
Good idea, Barling. Mr. Baggins, you must go and find out all about that light and what it is for, and if all is perfectly safe and canny. Scuttle up. And come back quick if all is well. If not, come back if you can. And if you can't, hoot twice like a barn owl, once like a screech owl. And we will do what we can.
Off you go, Mr. Baggins.
But I don't know how to hoot. I don't know the difference.
Get along there, Baggins.
I can't hoot. I don't know anything.
Dear. Dear. Oh. Very well. If Gandalf says I'm the burglar, I suppose I ought to be the one to go. Well, even if I can't hoot, at least I can move about quietly in the woods. It's one thing we hobbits pride ourselves on. We can move absolutely quietly. And that dwarvish racket, hmm? Now, where's his light? Oh, yes, I can see it quite clearly now. It's definitely a fire. With three creatures sitting around it. It looks like they're toasting meat. With their fingers? Are they? Shaped like huge men, but they've got great, heavy, ugly faces and strange-shaped arms and legs. Trolls.
Mutton yesterday. Mutton today. Blimey, if it don't look like mutton tomorrow.
Never a blinking bit of man flesh we've had for long enough. Yeah. Shut your mouth, Tom.
Hey, what about
you? You bet a village and a half between years since we come down from the mountains.
Yeah.
How much more do you want?
Here, Tom. Bert.
What is it, William?
Don't look round. But just beyond you, there's a little hand coming out from under the bushes. Just about to make off with one of our choices cuts. Looks as though it might be a pesky dwarf.
A dwarf? Right. I'll count to three, and we'll jump in. One. Two. Three.
Tell me if I know. What are you?
Do it to you.
What are you?
Bilbo Baggins, B-A-G-G-I-N. A hobbit.
A burrow hobbit? What's that then? Can you cook them?
You
can try.
But it wouldn't make above a mouthful. Not when he was skinned and boned. Perhaps there are more like him around and we can make a pie.
Oh, no, please. Please don't cook me, kind sir. I'm a very good cook myself, you know. And I cook better than I cook. if you see what I mean.
Poor little blighter. Let's let him go.
Oh, yes.
You're a fat fool, William, as I've said before, is he then?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're a lout, Bert Huggins.
Oh, am I?
You?
And you
are sweet this time. Come on, Tom.
This, of course, would have been the time for Bilbo to leave, but his poor feet had been so squashed in the troll's big hand that he could only lie bruised and panting where he'd been thrown when the fight started, just outside the circle of firelight.
Mr. Baggins.
Yeah.
Bilbo, are you all right?
Quiet.
And drop another of them.
Where are you?
Get
the baggage.
It's awful, get it, boy.
I'll
get a sack.
Right back. That's all, mass dwarf. Here, Bert. One tasty dwarf.
Let me be an old one while I try the job.
There's a fool to come yet.
And so there were. As each dwarf came up to the fire looking for Balin and Bilbo, a smelly sack was thrust over his head. Soon, Dwalin, led by Balin, Dory by Nori and Ori, Owen by Gloin, Bifur and Bofur by Bombor, and little Keely and Feely in one sack together both.
I could only watch helplessly as even Torin succumbed to the troll's great weight and strength.
Stand away! I am Torin!
Let's roast him down.
Ah, it's big
or
no?
No, no, no.
It's just
a
great
leader,
Captain.
Shut up, arguing!
Hey?
Who's arguing?
You are. You're a liar. Oh, come on, now, Lord. We've had enough fighting for one night. I say we sit on the sack one by one to squat them. Let's do that now and then boil them in the big spoon.
Yeah, all right then.
Who should we sit on first, yeah?
Let's squash the last one first. He's the biggest.
No, the biggest one meant the blue stockings. This was grey.
They wasn't grey, Willem. They were yellow.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Tom. They was yellow.
Somebody just said they was grey for them.
I didn't. Bert said I was grey.
Oh, never did. That was you.
Two to one, so shut your mouth.
Who are you talking to? The night's getting on, so let's get to it. The dawn comes early.
Dawn takes you all and bestow to you.
It's all so me now.
Gandalf? Over here.
Bilbo, are you hurt?
No. I'm just a bit bruised and winded. I'll be all right in a few minutes. The dwarves are all tied up in your sacks.
Yes. We'd better let them out before they suffocate.
Another few minutes, we would have all been squashed and boiled.
Bombo.
Wake up.
You're out of your sack now.
Out you come.
There you are. And you. Come on, little one. You're free now.
But what happened to the trolls, Gandalf?
Yes, what did you do?
They seemed to turn to stone.
That is exactly what did happen, my dear Bilbo. Oh. I thought everyone knew that for trolls, daylight is death. They must be underground before dawn, or they go back to the stone of the mountains they are made of and never move again.
Well, so it never was your push that made them keep arguing until the dawn came.
Exactly, Balin. I thought the impersonation very convincing, didn't you?
Exactly.
Gandalf.
Yes?
The trolls must have had a cave or a hole nearby to hide from the sun in.
Quite right, Thorin. We must look for it.
Their tracks shouldn't be hard to find or follow.
Thorin! Gandalf! Over here!
Oh, come on, everyone! Quick! Over here! This way!
Come on! There! You can see the trail going up the hill.
I'll lead with Balin. The rest of you follow.
Gandalf?
Yes, my hobbit.
please don't think that I'm criticizing Mr. Gandalf, but where did you get to during our encounter with these trolls?
Yes, I'd like to know that too. Where were you?
Looking ahead.
And what brought you back in the nick of time, eh?
Looking behind. Oh, yes, of course.
Good, Wallin! Good.
You can see where the tracks lead right to the door.
But be careful, everyone. Make sure it's all clear.
Excellent. Let us go in.
Now. Ooh. What a horrible smell.
Those buttons and that food and ale. They are sold. Thousands and thousands of gold and more.
Look. These swords. They have jeweled hilts. The most beautiful scabbards.
They look like good blades.
Yes.
They were not made by any troll, nor by any smith among men in these parts and days. I should know more about them if I could read the runes on them.
Take them with you.
I will.
I wonder, could I have a... they all look a bit big. Oh, this little one. This little one. Just the right size for me. I'll take that.
What about the gold?
Hey, what about the gold?
No, we can hide the gold in a safe place against our return. Now let us eat and drink our fill.
After which they slept, for the night had been disturbed somewhat, and their struggle with the trolls had made them very tired. Then they buried the gold,
loaded up the ponies with fresh supplies from the Charles bread and cheese and bacon and ale, and jogged along again on the path towards the east.
The next few days were uneventful, but we began to feel that danger was never very far away. We forded the river, and from the top of the far bank, we looked down over a green valley, on the far side of which lay the misty mountain.
You are now come to the very edge of the wild. Ahead of us is the fair valley of Rivendell, where Elrond Harvelvan lives in the last homely house. We are expected...
Is Elrond an elf?
No, Bilbo, he is an elf friend, which is good enough for our purposes.
It smells like elves. It is elves. Where? Where? Oh, you won't see them unless they want you to.
Well, Bilbo the Hobbit on a pony.
Thank you.
Have they nothing better to do than laugh at us?
Well, I could not mind it. Could it be some enchanting?
The dwarves never really get on with elves. Elves are too full of themselves, if you ask me, just because they have more magic than us.
You are a little out of your way. If you are making for the only path across the water... and for the house beyond, we will set you right. But you had best get on foot until you are over the bridge. Don't dip your beard in the foam.
Magic yourself on. Feckless elves!
Be quiet, Cody. We shall soon arrive at the last homely house.
Good night, good people. Valleys have ears, and some of you have over merry tongues. Good night.
Good night.
Elves.
You said that Elrond was an elf friend.
Bilbo Baggins, that curiosity of yours will end you in a lot of trouble one day.
There are still some people who have both elves and heroes of the North for ancestors, and Elrond Half-Elven is their chief. He lives now in the last homely house, and never was there a more apt name. There. See? Ooh. There it is. Doreen, knock on the doors.
Welcome to my house. Enter.
Elrond was as noble and as fair in face as an elf lord, as strong as a warrior, as wise as a wizard, as venerable as a king of dwarves, and as kind as summer. His house was perfect, whether you liked work
or sleep,
storytelling or singing or just sitting and thinking.
Or eating.
The adventurers stayed at the last homely house for 14 days, until Midsummer's Day. It was hard to leave. Bilbo would have gladly stopped there forever. Gandalf had still not been able to discover the meaning of the runes on the troll's swords. So, on the eve of their departure... he asked Elrond what they might mean.
These swords are not troll made. They are old, very old, made by the elves of Gondolin for the goblin wars. They must have come from a dragon horde or goblin plunder, for dragons and goblins destroyed Gondolin long ago. This sword, Thorin, according to the runes on the hilt, is called Orcrist, the Goblin Slayer. It was a famous blade. Yours, Gandalf, is Glamdring.
Glamdring? The foe hammer? Then this was once worn by the King of Gondolin himself.
Indeed it was. Orcrist and foe hammer. two ancient and powerful weapons. Keep them well.
I will keep this sword in honor. May Orcus soon cleave goblins once again.
I do not know that I altogether approve of the fierce love of gold which you dwarves profess. But Smaug must be destroyed. And the merry town of Dale avenged. So I will see if I can help. Show me your map, Thorin. Gandalf tells me it was made by your grandfather. The plain runes indicating the secret door in the side of the mountain say, 5 feet high the door and 3 may walk abreast.
Is there anything else that the map can tell us?
I'm not sure. Let me take it to the window. Now then. Yes, I thought as much.
Moon letters?
Yes.
What are moon letters?
Moon letters, Bilbo, are runes which can be seen only when the paper on which they are written is held up to the moon.
Oh, thank you.
Fortunately, there is a moon tonight.
Yes, I see, but
Bilbo.
The moon letters read, stand by the gravestone when the thrush knocks, and the setting sun with the last light of Durin's day will shine upon the keyhole.
Well, what's Durin's day?
Durin was the ancestor of my grandpa. We call it Durin's day when the last moon of autumn and the sun are in the sky together. But this hidden message will not help us, since it passes our skill nowadays to guess when Durin's day will occur next. It may not be for hundreds of years.
That remains to be seen. Is there any more writing, Elrond?
None to be seen by this moon. Now, my esteemed friends, let us watch the elves dance and make merry on this midsummer eve. There will be songs and singing, and the people of the valley will outbid each other to do you honor and wish you good speed. It will hearten you for the next stage of your journey.
Midsummer's morning held out as much promise as the night had been gay. Blue sky with never a cloud and the sun dancing on the water. Gandalf and the dwarves and Burglar Baggins took their leave of the fair people of Rivendell and started up the foothills of the ominous Misty Mountain. Long days after they had climbed out of the valley and had left the last homely house, they were still going up and up. It was a hard path, and a dangerous path. A crooked way, lonely and long.
Far, far away in the west, where things looked blue and faint, I knew that there somewhere lay my own country of safe and comfortable things. My cozy hobbit hole.
It became bitter cold, and the adventurers were comfortless and chilled.
Especially at night, when we dared not sing or talk too loud, for the echoes were uncanny. The silence seemed to dislike being broken, except by the wail of wind and the smashing of boulders down the hillsides, loosened, or so Gandalf said, by melting snows on the heights above.
Look at those thunderclouds ahead, Thorin. The storm will be on us soon. And a great storm it will be, too, if I am not mistaken.
But a storm can't hurt us.
Perhaps not, but it may well frighten the ponies. And you can't afford to have them running amok on this narrow path. Look at the drop.
That's true.
Also, the storm may bring the stone giants out. If we get in the way of one of their boulders, it'll be the end of you.
Dwalin! Dwalin! Go on ahead and see if you can find some shelter. Perhaps there's a cave or even a cliff edge we can crawl under. And this won't do at all. If we don't get any more drowned or struck by lightning, we shall be picked up by some stone giant and kicked sky high for a football.
And I have a feeling that this storm has not come upon us by accident.
You must get under cover as soon as possible.
Kareem, yes? Kareem, we found the cave. Just a rope and a cord. It's big enough for all of us, even the
police. Oh, good work! Everyone follow Barley and Dwarley! Well done, Marlin and Rock. All right. It's a splendid cave,
eh?
Dry as a bone,
too. And not too large and mysterious. Let's get right inside and light a fire.
Yes. But we are cold and wet through.
No fires. Be ruled by me. I will give you a light from my staff. Nar and Edrai Ethanen.
I'm so tired. Aye, Peely, and so are we all. Let us do as Gandalf says and bless. As soon as the storm passes over, we must all be on our way. Let's hope that when the thunder and lightning goes, the stone giants will go too. Or we shall never get out of here.
Oh, horrible dream. I dreamt that there was a crack in the wall at the back of the cave. It got bigger and bigger, opening wider and wider. I was too frightened to cry or to call out. Oh, dear. What's that? Oh, there is a crack. It's as wide as a passage. My dreams come true. Oh, was it a dream at all? Oh. Where are the ponies going?
Struggle all you want to, dwarf. You are outnumbered. Six to one. Take it inside. Close the door. Anyone through? Everyone through. Get along, dwarf. I'm punished.
I just saw four goblins rush to take him prisoner. When he raised his staff, there was a blinding flash. The goblins flew dead.
Ah, good. But what happened to Gandalf?
I don't know. Just vanished.
Vanished? Where to?
I don't know.
Gandalf, where are you? Oh, where are you?
Thank you.
poor goblin's about to take him prisoner when he raised his staff. There was a blinding flash. The goblin's still dead.
Ah, good. But what happened to Gandalf?
He just vanished.
Vanished? Where to?
I don't know.
Gandalf, where are you? Oh, where are you?
The goblins hurried Bilbo and the dwarves along with shouts and insults and cracks of the whip. Down and down they went into the heart of the mountain, where it was stifling and hot and stuffy. And the goblins were very rough and pinched unmercifully. Bilbo was even more unhappy than when the troll had picked him up by his toes.
Oh, I wish I'd never left my hobbit hole.
It was a deep, deep dark, such as only goblins can see through. Here, the passages in the depths of the mountain were crossed and tangled in all directions. But the goblins did not hesitate or stop for one second. Now there came a glimmer of red light, which became stronger and stronger, until at last the dwarves stumbled into a vast cavern with torches round the walls and a great red fire in the middle.
The cavern seemed to be filled with hundreds of hideous creatures. In the shadows, on a raised flat stone, surrounded by ferocious-looking guards armed with axes and bent swords, sat a tremendous goblin with a huge, bloated head.
Oh, are these miserable persons?
You are, you great goblin! And
you find them
sheltering in our front porch,
you
mighty one.
Our front porch? What do you mean by it?
Well, I
really think... Who are you? Murderers and friends of elves, not unlike you. Yes. Come, what have you got to say? Not that it will do you much good. I know too much about you and your folk already. But let's have the truth. Or I will prepare something particularly uncomfortable for you.
I am Thorin Oakenshield, the dwarf at your service. We were on a journey to visit the descendants of our grandfathers who live on the east side of these truly hospitable mountains.
He is a liar! Oh, truly tremendous one! Several of our people were struck by lightning in the cave when we invited these creatures to come below. And they are as dead as stone. Also, he has not explained his sword.
Sword?
Yes. Let me see. Oh, Chris! The goblin cleaver, the fighter. This accursed sword has slain hundreds of my people. You murderers and elf friends. Slash them, beat them, bite them, kill them!
Sorry, what's happening? I can't see.
Fire and the torches, they seem to explode in all directions. All the sparks are burning up. The goblin.
Yes.
Bilbo, I can see a sword gleaming in the dark.
Yes. Yes, I can see it. It's floating in the air. There's nobody holding it.
It's making for the great goblin.
Cutting clean, too! Stop! Follow me quick! Hold the door! It's done, guys!
He's invisible!
Well, are we all here? I'll light my staff so that we can see. Nar en Edrai Ethamen. Now, Thorin.
By your side, Gandalf.
Good. That's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11.
Yes.
Where are Keely and Edith?
Here we are, John.
Oh, that makes 13.
Mr. Baggins, Horton.
Yes. Mr. Gandalf, where were you?
It might be worse, and then again it might be a good deal better. No ponies, we shan't see them again, and no food.
No,
you might where we are, and hordes of angry goblins just behind us.
At least I've rescued our Chris, Gandalf. See, I glow just like your sword glamouring.
That is a warning, Tareen. The brighter those swords glow, the nearer the enemy.
Come,
on we go.
And on they went. They began to hear goblin noises and horrible cries far behind. And it soon became clear that the goblins were quickly gaining on them.
Oh, Mr. Gandalf! Mr. Gandalf! Oh, Tony!
What is it?
I can't run this fast.
Oh, well, then we'll just have to carry you up. Bombo!
Oh, no.
You take him first.
Oh, come on, Mr. Baggins. Yep, yes.
Oh, my. Oh,
my sight,
never leave my hobbit hole.
Now, quickly, all of you. The goblins are on us.
Come on, you and I will go out. The doctors and Glamwing will keep them at bay while the rest of you try and get away.
Go away! Goblins, be mine! I'll have us!
And well named were those two magic swords by the ancient high elves of the West who wrought them. They hewed and hacked at the goblins until the evil creatures were driven off, and it was some time before they dared turn that corner again, by which time the adventurers had gone on, a long way on into the dark tunnels of the goblins' realm. As soon as the goblins realized where their prey had gone, they put out their torches, slipped on soft shoes, and chose their very quickest runners with the sharpest eyes and ears. These ran forward as swift as weasels in the dark, and with hardly any more noise than bats.
Yes, and that's why none of us, not even Gandalf, saw or heard them coming. But we must have been seen by the goblins coming up behind, for Gandalf was letting his wand give out a faint light to help us as we went along.
Quite suddenly, Balin, now at the back carrying Bilbo, was grabbed from behind. As Balin fell, the hobbit rolled off his shoulders into the blackness, bumped his head on hard rock, and remembered nothing more. When Bilbo opened his eyes, he wondered if he had. But it was just as dark as with them shut.
Oh, yes. Yes, and just imagine my fright. I could hear nothing, I could see nothing, and I could feel nothing except for the stone of the floor. Very slowly, I got up and groped about on all fours till I touched the wall of the tunnel. My head was swimming. There was no sign of Gandalf or the dwarves, and I was far from certain even which way we'd been travelling. Still, I guessed as well as I could, and I crawled along for a good way, until suddenly my hand met on the floor of the tunnel what felt like a little tiny ring of cold metal.
It was a turning point in the hobbit's career. Not that he knew it at the time. He put the ring in his pocket almost without thinking. Certainly it did not seem of any particular use at that moment. He did not go much further, but sat on the cold floor and pondered.
I thought of myself at home, frying eggs and bacon in the kitchen. But that only made me miserabler, for I could feel inside that it was high time for some meal or other. How could I have been left behind? How did the goblins miss me? I must have been lying unconscious out of their way. What if the goblins came back?
But then Bilbo remembered the sword he had taken from the troll's lair.
Ah, it glows. So this is an elvish blade, too. Its light's only pale, so the goblins are not very near. Yes, and yet not far enough away. Still, gives me a little light to see by. Now, what shall I do? Go back? No, that's no good at all. Go sideways? Oh, no, impossible. Go forward. No thing to do. On they go.
So, with his sword held in front of him and with one hand feeling the wall, he groped along, fearful but determined as only a hobbit can be when his mind is made up. The tunnel seemed to have no end. On and on he went, and down, not daring to stop. On, until he was tired and tired. It seemed like all the way to tomorrow and over it to the days beyond. Suddenly.
Water! Icy cold! This must be a pool or a lake. Or is it an underground river? Well, now what do I do? It may not be very deep, and I might be able to wade over to the other side. Whatever that is. But if it is deep, I can't swim. Oh, dear.
My precious. At least a tasty morsel, and it may cross it.
Who are you?
What is he, my precious?
Me? Mr. Bilbo Baggins, B-A-G-G-I-N-S. I've lost the dwarves, and I've lost the wizard, and I don't know where I am, and I don't want to know. If only I can get out of here.
That he sits here and chats with it a bit, my precious. It likes riddles. Perhaps it does it?
This strange creature wanted to appear friendly, at any rate for the moment, until he found out more about the hobbit. His name was Galoon, although he always called himself Precious. He was small and slimy and as dark as darkness, except for two big, round, pale eyes in his thin face. He lived on fish, and goblin, too, when he could get it. He could see that Bilbo was no goblin, but Galoon was always very hungry. When he said he wanted to play riddles, Bilbo was anxious to agree until he found out whether this odd creature was fierce or friendly, or whether he was in league with the goblin.
Riddles? Very well, then. You ask first.
Goodness. What has roots as nobody sees is taller than trees. Up, up. It goes, and yet never grows.
Oh, yes, well, that's very easy. A mountain.
Does it get easy? It must have a competition with us, my precious.
A competition? Yes, well, all right. Provided that you show me the way out of this place afterwards.
If Precious asks, and it doesn't answer, we eat it, my precious. It eats me? If we don't answer, then we does what it wants, huh? We shows it the way out, yes.
Well, doesn't seem very much else for it. No, sir. Eat me. Oh, dear. Yeah, very well. Now,
Now let me see.
Try this one. Box without hinges, key or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid. Very easy, old chestnut, you know.
Box without hinges, yes, golden treasure.
Gold. Come along, let's have your answer.
Now, precious time. Yes. This thing all things devours, birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays king, ruins town, and beats high mountain down.
Oh, dear. It's a hard one. A magician. Yeah. Oh, dear. It definitely wants to eat me. I must think. Oh, I need more time. Time.
No more.
No, all right, certainly. I'm rather tired of that game, too. But now, do you think you could show me the way?
It's got to ask us a question, my precious.
Oh, but I just asked
you. Yes. Just one more question.
Well, I just can't think of anything. Something. What have I got in my pocket?
Not fair! Oh. Well. Not fair to ask us what it's got in its nasty little pocket, sis.
Well, all right. Yes, what have I got in my pocket then?
It must give us true justice, my precious.
Yeah, well, all right, go on then. Guess away.
What's it got in its pocket? Hanses.
Donk. Guess again.
Not Hanses. What can nasty Hanses have in its pocket?
No, wrong. Last guess. Wrong. Come along, time's up.
Train no. Or nothing.
Now, that's not fair. You work two guesses in at once. Anyway, they're both wrong. Well, what about your promise then? I want to go and you must show me the way.
It must wait. We can't go up tunnels, they're so hasty. We must go and get some things first. Yes, things to help us.
Yes, well, all right. Well, hurry up then.
We must get our birthday present. Let it wait there till we get our birthday present.
Goodness, it's gone. I don't think he means to come back. All that talk of things to get and a birthday present, just excuses to get away.
But Bilbo was wrong. Gollum did mean to come back. He was angry now and hungry, and he was a miserable and wicked creature, and he had a plan. He paddled out to his island, where in a hiding place he kept a few wretched oddments, and one very beautiful thing. Very beautiful, very wonderful. A golden ring. A precious ring. How he had come by that ring ages ago in the old days, when such rings were still at large in the world, perhaps even the master who ruled them could not have said.
It's business. It's lost.
Oh. Yes, well, so am I, you see. And I want to get unlost. Yes, and I won the game, you know, and you promised. So come along. You come along and let me out, and then you can go on with your looking.
No. Not yet.
Yes, but you never answered my last question. And you did promise, you know.
But it's lost. Tell us,
Beth.
It must tell first.
He's coming back. He's just very, very upset.
Ah! Yes. It's got in its pocket.
Yes. What have I got, I wonder? Oh, it's just that ring. Oh, it feels very cold on my fingers. Oh, my God.
You! Shining like green fire!
Go!
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. He's going to kill me!
It mustn't run away!
Terrified, Bilbo tried to run faster as he heard Gollum's hiss close behind him. But suddenly, he stuck his toe on a snag in the floor and fell flat with his sword under him.
He's gone past. Well, how could he have missed me? Well, he has, and that's a good thing. Yes, but what now? No good going back to the lake. He's bound to return there sometime. I suppose I'd just better follow him. Perhaps he'll lead me to some way of escape.
God. Oh, oh. And it's my birthday present. How do you see my Christmas tree? It
must have been when we came this way last. When we twisted that tasty young cock. It slipped from us after all these ages and ages. It's gone.
The ring. That's what he must have lost. But why does he want it so badly?
The bad has got it in his pocket. The nasty nose has got it in his head. But he doesn't know what the present can do, does he? It doesn't know. But it's tricked me. Yes, supposing the hind got it in his judgment.
Goblins.
If they get it, they will get the present. Our precious present. They'll find it, and they'll find out what it does. One of the goblins will put it on, and then no one will see him. Not even our clever eyes will see him. And he'll come creepy and fixy and kill us.
So it's a magic ring. Well, it's made me invisible. That's why he rushed straight past me when I fell.
Let's stop talking. The doctor says he might find a way to the back door. Yes, that's it. The back door.
The back door? Well, maybe I can get out there. If this ring really, really does make me invisible, it should be easy. I suppose I'd better follow this smelly creature. I'd much rather be getting away from it.
The further they went, the slower Galoom walked. He began to get shaky and weepy. Goblins might be about, and he had lost the ring. At last, he stopped by a low opening in the left-hand side of the passage.
Yes, yes. Here's the passage. But we mustn't go on, Precious. No. Goblins is down there. Lots of goblins here. We must wait here. Wait a bit and see.
He's sitting right in front of the opening. Oh, I can see his great shining eyes. How can I get past him?
We hears it. We smells it. Hears it, my precious. The nasty packing is here. He wants to get out, but we won't let it, my precious. When we catch it, then we squeeze. Then we get our birthday present back.
I must get out. I must get out of this horrible darkness while I've got any strength left.
I'll kill it. I'll kill it with my elf blade.
But a sudden understanding, a pity mixed with horror, welled up in Bilbo's heart. A glimpse of endless days without light or hope, hard stone, cold fish sneaking and whispering. He trembled. And then quite suddenly, as if lifted by a new strength and resolve, straight over Galoom's head he jumped, 7 feet forward and 3 feet in the air. Too late, Galoom sensed what was happening. He threw himself backwards and grabbed. But his hands snapped on thin air, and Bilbo, falling fair on his sturdy feet, sped off down the new tunnel.
Suddenly,
as fast as his legs would carry him, Bilbo turned a corner and came suddenly into an open space, where he saw, with a wave of relief that left him almost dizzy, a ray of bright sunshine streaming through a great stone doorway.
Oh! Oh!
Blinking in the dazzle, Bilbo failed at first to see the guards, goblins in full armor and with drawn swords.
They can see me.
Whether it was an accident or a last trick before he took a new master, the ring was not on his finger.
The ring. Where is it? Oh, here it is.
The sun was shining brightly and the air smelled clean and fresh. But I'd no food, pony, hood, cloak, no buttons on my coat, and not the slightest idea which way to go. Nor had I any friends. I was still quite alone.
So, trusting to his luck,
which hadn't been too good up to then,
Bilbo took off the magic ring and began to walk in the first direction his fancy dictated. As he wandered on, the sun began to sink behind the mountain.
Good heavens! The sun sets in the west, so I must be to the east of the Misty Mountains. I must have walked right through them, right to the edge of the land beyond.
Oh, the land beyond. Oh, where, oh, where can Gandalf and the dwarves have got to? Oh, perhaps now that I've got the magic ring, I ought to go back into those horrible tunnels and look for them. Yes. Yes, there's nothing else for it. I must go back.
What's that? Voices? Coming from behind those bushes. I'll creep near. See who they are. They might be friendly. Oh, thank goodness, it's the dwarves. I'll put the ring on and give them all a surprise.
Here I am.
Look! There he is.
Right here, Bilbo.
Where did you get to and where did you spring from?
Yeah, well, that's a little secret. I told you there was a lot more in our burglar than you guessed.
Tell us your adventures, Bilbo. What happened to you after we lost you? How did you get to this spot?
Well, you see, after I fell
Now we must be getting on. The goblins will be out after us in their hundreds when night falls, and already shadows are lengthening.
You can tell us your tale on the march, Bilbo.
Yes. As they plodded onward, the dwarves plied Bilbo with question after question about his adventures. He told them over and over again everything he could remember.
Except about the finding of the ring. But Gandalf gave me more than one strange look from under his bushy eyebrows. And I remember wondering if he had guessed that part of the tale without my saying.
The way grew rough and treacherous. And at one point, the whole party found themselves slithering helplessly down a long, steep slope of fallen stones, the remains of a landslide. The sun had long gone down behind the mountains. The company limped along as fast as they were able. And all the while the forest gloom got heavier and the silence deeper. Suddenly they came to a clearing where the bracken ceased and the pine needles were thickly carpeted upon the ground.
Can't we rest here? Must we go any further? I'm dreadfully hungry.
What's that? Wolves are the worst, I'm afraid. The evil wolves of these parts are called wild. We must climb the trees. All of you, quick!
Up the trees!
But I can't hurry a little.
Is it where I'm safe?
I think so. Yes, all safe for the time being.
Gandalf, we can't stay perched in trees forever. And look, there are hundreds of them.
Be quiet. And we may discover something to help us away from here. Look, in the middle of the clearing, there's their leader, the great grey warg.
What? All this noise? This howling and snickering. Strangers! Here,
oh great one. We chase them up those trees. What strangers? A pack of dwarves, my lord.
And a single man with a long beard. And a smaller thing.
And a smaller thing? Is it an elf? Not an elf.
We don't know what it is. We've never seen one before.
Are the goblins here yet?
No, oh great grey one.
Not here?
Why not? We don't know. Oh, my dear Sir Prowler, we haven't seen hide or whisker of them.
Well, find them, you tailies! We shall! Find them!
I'm one so scared of the forest.
We'll deal with the strangers later! You will soon have your chance to tear and slice. And
this is serious. Very serious indeed.
But what should we do, Gandalf? I mean, how should we ever escape?
Our only chance, I think, is fire.
Fire?
Yes. Wargs are mortally afraid of fire. You two, collect as many pine cones from this tree as you can, and I'll set light to them with my staff. Quick! Now then, Edra, now then.
Here you are.
Ah,
it's a big one.
Good. They're dry and should catch light easily. Well.
It's a great grey warg.
He should have the first honor of being the first target.
Good shot, Gandalf! You've got him right on the nose.
Yes, let's see what a few more fiery cones can produce.
Oh, what are you?
Here's a present for you.
Pipe and smoke it with. Look! The coats are on fire.
Let's get right to each other.
They're running away!
Oh, there are still far too many of them unharmed for us to think of escaping yet. We'll have to...
Look! Look! Through the trees there! Goblins!
As I feared, we were too late. The goblins have arrived.
What's going on, Gandalf? What are they doing?
Holding a council of war, I should imagine. Yes, I thought so. Goblins, unlike wargs, are not afraid of fire. See... They're putting dry fern and brushwood round our trees. Oh. They're going to make bonfires of us.
Farewell, goblin! Farewell, war!
band of adventurers was borne away to freedom and to safety. As they flew on, the pale peaks of a mountain loomed ahead, with spikes of rock sticking up out of black shadows. At last, the great eagles deposited their passengers safely on a wide ledge of rock, halfway up the sheer precipice which seemed to form one whole side of this inhospitable-looking mountain.
Where are we, Gandalf? Are the eagles friendly? I mean,
one question at a time, my dear Bilbo. First, we are on the Great Shelf, the home of the Lord of the Eagles.
Oh.
And secondly, yes, they are friendly.
Oh.
They aren't always, I might tell you. But it so happens that I once healed the Lord of the Eagles through a very nasty arrow wound. Quiet. Here he is now. Show the greatest respect.
Ah! Gandalf, my old friend! What a pleasant surprise to see you again.
I am honored, Lord of the Eagles. May I present Taurin Oakenshield, son of Thrain, son of Thror, and his followers.
Son of Thrain, son of Thror! It is a great pleasure to meet the head of such a famous family of goblin slayers. Gandalf, my friend. You must tell me where you have come from and where you are going to and what is your mission. Wah! It was as well one of my patrols spotted the fire from afar, was it not? Wah!
Indeed it was. We all owe our lives to you and to your eagles. But before I tell you of our adventures, may I crave one more favor?
You have but to ask.
Can your eagles take us where and as far as you will?
In which direction?
Eastward.
Ah, eastward. Great wind. Your quest must be an important one indeed for you to wish to go eastward. We will carry you to the Karok, but no further, Gandalf. There are too many perils beyond that point, even for eagles. Food for the crab, and my lord!
Ooh,
eat your fill, then you must rest for tomorrow's journey.
The following morning, they bade a courteous farewell to their hosts who had treated them so kindly, and again were carried aloft, this time on the backs of the eagles, which was a good deal more comfortable and less frightening, although at least one member of the party still found it not at all to his liking.
I just shut my eyes and held on as tightly as I could.
After a good while, the eagles spied the Karok and began to go down in great spirals. The Karok was a rugged hill of stone sticking up out of a plain of wide grassland and with a river meandering round its foot. Quickly now to the top of this rock, the eagles swooped one by one and set down their passengers.
May the wind under your wings bear you where the sun sails and the moon walks. Farewell.
Farewell, my lord.
Goodbye. Farewell.
What now, Gandalf?
Very few people live in these parts of the land beyond. But there is somebody that I know of who lives not too far away. It was he who named this hill Karok. And it was he who carved out those steps down to the plain. He doesn't come here often. Certainly not in the daytime, and it is no good waiting for him. In fact, it would be very dangerous.
Right.
We must go and find him. And you must all be very polite when I introduce you, which I shall do slowly, two by two, I think. And you must be careful not to annoy him, or heaven knows what will happen.
Why?
Because he can be appalling when he is angry. Though he's kind enough when humored. Still, I warn you, he gets angry easily.
Is this the person you are taking us to?
It is.
Couldn't you find someone more easy-tempered?
No, I could not.
I think, Gandalf, you'd better explain it all a bit more clearly.
His name is Bjorn. He's a skin changer, which is to say he changes his skin. Sometimes he is a man and sometimes an enormous black bear. Some say that he's descended from the ancient bears of the mountains that lived there before the giants came.
Yes, but what's
this? And, Bilbo, he is not the sort of person to ask questions of.
Why'd you tell me?
His house is a great wooden mansion set in an oak forest, which, incidentally, is a good walk from here.
But why can't
so I... let us save our breath for marching. Follow me.
Don't like the idea of it at all.
It was late afternoon before they came to a belt of tall and very ancient oaks. Gandalf led the way along the thick thorn hedge to a wooden gate high and broad. Through it they could see gardens and a cluster of barns, stables and sheds, and a long, low wooden house.
You had better wait here and follow only in pairs, mind, at intervals of about 5 minutes. That will give him time to get used to the idea of visitors. Come on, Mr. Baggins.
Hmm?
We'll go first.
Oh, will we?
Good luck.
Good luck, Mr. Baggins.
Oh, thank you.
See? Hmm? The way those horses looked us over and trotted off?
Yes.
They have gone to tell Bjorn of the arrival of strangers.
Well, they liked what they saw.
Now, be on your best behavior, Bilbo.
Well, and try not to ask any questions.
Soon they reached a courtyard, in the middle of which stood a huge man, fully half as tall again as Gandalf, leaning on a large axe. He had a black beard and thick black hair and great bare arms and legs with knotted muscles. The horses were standing by him with their noses at his feet.
Well, here they are. They don't look dangerous. Who are you and what do you want?
I am Gandalf of the Wizard.
Never heard of him. And what's this little fellow?
This is Mr. Bilbo Baggins, a hobbit. Of good family and unimpeachable reputation.
At your service and your family's.
Yeah.
Well, I have heard of you, even if you have not heard of me. But perhaps you have heard of my good cousin Radagast.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Not a bad fellow as wizards go. I used to see him now and again. Well, now I know who you are, or who you say you are. What do you want?
We have lost our luggage, Bjorn, and are in need of help and advice. I may say we had rather a bad time of it with goblins in the mountains.
Goblins? So you've been having trouble with them, have you? Oh. Well, then you'd better tell me your tale, if it won't take all day. Now, what did you go near goblins for?
I was coming over the mountains with a friend or two.
Or two? Well, I can only see one. And a little one at that.
Well, I didn't like to bother you with a lot of us until I found out if you were busy. I'll give a whistle, if I may.
Yes, go on. Whistle away.
Torrin Oakenshield, at your service.
Nori, at your service.
One or three, you mean, I see. But these aren't hobbits. They're dwarves.
Yes.
I am not over fond of dwarves. But if you are really Torrin, son of Thrain, son of Thror, and you are enemies of goblins and are not up to mischief in my lands, then what are you up to, Thorway?
They are on their way to visit the land of their fathers east beyond Mirkwood, as I was about to tell you.
Go on telling them.
We were crossing the high pass when we took refuge in a cave from a terrible storm, the hobbit and I and several of our...
Several? You call two several?
Well, no, as a matter of fact, there are more than two.
Well, go on, whistle again.
Yes. Ah, there are Dori and Ori.
At your service.
Dori, at your service.
All right. Stand still and keep quiet, or it'll be supper time before this tale is ended.
Ooh. Well, while we were resting in a cave, some goblins took the hobbit and the dwarf.
And so Gandalf, by keeping Bjorn enthralled with the story of their adventures, was able to introduce all the dwarves into his formidable presence. And by the time the wizard had finished his tale, The shadows were long in Bjorn's garden.
Funky flight. The eagles put us down. On Karak.
That's a good tale. It's a very good tale. It's the best I've heard for a long time. You may have been making it all up.
I beg your pardon.
But you deserve a supper for the story, all the same. Let's go in. I've got something to eat.
Yes, please.
In Bjorn's house, we had a supper such as we had not had since we left Elrond half-elven in the west. Bjorn told tales of the wild lands this side of the mountains, and of the dark and dangerous wood which barred our way to the east, and through which we had to pass. The terrible forest of Mirkwood.
After many tales had been told, and many songs had been sung, Gandalf, Bilbo, and the dwarves, by now so tired that they could hardly see, sank wearily into a deep, dreamless sleep. Bjorn himself disappeared. Where to, no one knew.
Get up, lazy bones. Get up, or there will be no breakfast left for you.
Breakfast? Where's the breakfast?
Mostly inside out.
I say, let's wait.
There's some there for you.
Oh, good. Thank you, darling. Where's Gandalf?
Oh, out and about somewhere. I think he may be looking for Bjorn.
Well,
there's no sign of him either.
Gandalf coming now.
Good morning,
Torin.
Good morning,
Bilbo.
Where is our host, Gandalf?
Look, where have you been? One question at a time, please. I will answer the second one first, which I think will also answer your first. I have been following bear tracks.
Oh,
I have followed them quite a distance, and do you know where they appeared to be leading to?
What will you?
To that clearing just this side of the mountains where we had our pleasant little party with the wargs and goblins last night.
Bjorn! Bjorn! Easily there's evil creatures here. We should all be caught and killed.
Don't be silly. I said Bjorn was an enemy of goblins and all things evil, and so he is. But he also had to satisfy himself as to the truth of our story.
Yes, but I'm...
Oh, here he comes.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
All well?
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Ah, that was a good story of yours last night.
Sure.
And I like it better still now that I know it's true. Well, forgive my not taking your word, but if you live near the edge of Mirkwood, you would not take the word of anyone.
I
shall think more kindly of dwarves after this.
And
I'm told you killed the great goblin.
Oh, that's
the great goblin! Well, now, you will want to be getting on with your quest. I shall provide ponies for each of you, and a horse for you, Gandalf, to carry you to the start of the forest path at the edge of Mirkwood. I shall give you food and water, bows and arrows. Not that you are likely to find anything in Mirkwood wholesome enough to eat. In there, wild things are dark, savage. And two pieces of advice I give you. The first is not to drink any of the water of the stream which will cross your path, for it carries enchantment and a great drowsiness and forgetfulness. The second is not under any circumstance to stray from the path. That you must not do for any reason. Now, your mounts are loaded and ready. I suggest that you start now so as to reach Mirkwood before nightfall.
Right, come on, everyone. My thanks, mighty sir. We shall be ever at your service.
Let me lift you up, Mr. Baggins. I can see that hobbits are not made for pony back.
Oh, well, I have
you.
Thank you, Mr. Bjorn.
Everybody mount it.
All ready, Bjorn.
Good. Gandalf.
Yes?
At the gate of the forest, I must ask you to send back my horse and my pony.
Of course.
I wish you all good speed. My house is open to you if ever you come back this way again. Farewell.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Swiftly and surely the travelers were borne to the eaves of Mirkwood, and by late afternoon were resting almost beneath the great overhanging boughs of its outer trees. Their trunks were huge and gnarled, their branches twisted, their leaves dark and long.
You can see the entrance to the path through that step in the trees. I hope you like the look of it. And now you must send back these excellent ponies you have borrowed.
Send back the ponies? What about your horse, then? You don't mention sending that back.
I don't, because I am not sending it back. I am riding it back. I have some pressing business away south. In any case, I'm sending Mr. Baggins with you, and I've told you that he has more about him than you guess. You will find that out before long. So cheer up, all of you, and think of the treasure at the end. Come now, dismount and unload the ponies.
Dismount, everyone. Stop.
Off you go, back to your master.
Are you really leaving?
Yes, my little burglar, I really am.
Oh, but
courage, Bilbo. This is your legend, your adventure. Don't fail me.
I'll try not to.
Goodbye, then.
Goodbye.
Farewell, Taurine. Whoa!
Farewell, Gandalf.
Goodbye, Mr.
Come, friends, shoulder your packs. Let us march into Mirkwood. Far over the misty mountains, go to dungeons deep and caverns low. We must away.
Heavy with ivy and lichen. Twisted branches and blackened leaves met above their heads so that the adventurers felt as though they were walking down a long, gloomy tunnel, while all the trees leaned over them and listened. All was dark, green, and menacing. The nights were the worst. It then became pitch dark, so dark that they really could see nothing.
Yes, I tried flapping my hand in front of my nose, but I couldn't see it at all.
They slept huddled close together and took it in turns to keep watch. In the inky blackness, eyes would appear. Gleams of yellow and red and green fire, and horrible, pale, bulbous eyes.
Insect eyes, Silver. Huge insect eyes.
Eventually, they reached the enchanted river. Crossing it presented no problem, for to their surprise, they found a boat moored to the bank.
But even so, misfortune struck. Bumbor,
the heaviest and the fattest of the dwarves,
managed to fall into the water. As Bjorn and Worm had drifted at once into a deep sleep from which nothing would waken him. So for days and days, Bumbor had to be carried.
Yes, and what a weight he was, to be sure.
Finally, the moment arrived when the last morsel of food had been eaten and the last drop of fresh water had been drunk.
And the night was setting in.
The outlook could scarcely have been bleaker. The only scrap of comfort came unexpectedly from Bumble. He woke up.
Oh, what a lovely sleep.
What a lovely, gorgeous sleep.
Bumble,
what to eat?
You're awake.
Are you all right?
Certainly I'm all right, Varlin. But I'm jolly hungry, though. Oh, I can't ever remember being so hungry.
Nor can any of us, Bumble. There is no food left.
No food?
No, not a crumb. We've been carrying you for days, and all the food is gone.
For days? No wonder I'm so hungry.
You're hungry.
Oh, I was having such beautiful dreams. I dreamt that I was in a forest, and there were lamps swinging from the trees and fires burning on the ground. A woodland king was there with all his people, and there was a great feast going on, going on forever.
What we for tea?
What is it, darling?
Look through the trees. There.
A light.
And there. Another. Yes, yes. Another.
Yes. Twinkling red light. Just like in my dream.
Look, come here, Bobo. Bobo, come back here. Would it ever get back to it alive, would it?
Without a beast, we can't remain alive much longer anyway.
Let's go.
In my dreams, there were pies and ale, jellies and breads and jam and cakes and tarts and sweet.
Oh, very well, very well, Bumble. Let us go.
Oh, yes, go.
Everyone.
And quietly and keep close together. Sorry. Wood elves. Not quite the same as high elves. More dangerous and less wise. Oh, good people. Bilbo, you and I will go first. We will announce ourselves to the king and ask for food. Are you ready? Let us show ourselves.
I am Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thor, first king.
It's gone dark. They vanished.
Wait! We are friendly. We mean no evil.
Where are you? Come by help, wood elves.
No, dwarves. Dwarves, come back.
Wait, dwarves! Wait! I'm only a little hobbit. I can't walk as fast. I shall get lost. I'm over here.
All of you, here by me! The wood elves have gone. Look, please be quiet, all of you.
Now, does anyone know the way back to the park?
Hurry!
Yes, what is it?
The lights again, over there.
Well, we'll catch them this time. Come on,
come back, you foolish dwarves! Come back!
Come back here!
Just like my dream. There's the feast.
What a scrumptious spread. I will ask them for some. Excuse me, please. May we have some food?
They've gone again. They've gone.
Darling, where are you?
Here, Thorin, over here.
Where?
Here, Bumbor is with me.
Oh, Thorin, it was such a lovely feast.
Yes, I know. Poor Bumbor. Poor all of us. Dwarves!
Dwarves! Come to your king! Oin! Finny!
Yes, Thorin!
Oin!
Yes.
The wood elves have gone. There is no feast.
Why don't they help us?
Are they frightened? Call again, Thorin. Call
it's
again.
It's no use. It's no use. Now we are really lost. The wood elves have tricked us into leaving the park.
But you said they were not evil.
Perhaps they are not.
But they are not to know what we are.
Dorian, the burglar is missing.
What?
The rest of us are all here, but no Mr. Baggins.
The burglar lost. This is grim news. Grim news indeed. We must find him.
Oh, yes.
For Bilbo, this was one of his most miserable moments. He had blundered around in the darkness, calling for the dwarves by name, one after the other, time after time, until quite exhausted. He was alone in Murk Wood. He made up his mind that it was no good trying to do anything until daylight.
And with no hope of breakfast to revive me.
He sat himself down with his back to a tree, and not for the first time fell to thinking of his hobbit hole with its beautiful pantries. He was deep in thoughts about eggs and bacon and toast and butter when he felt something like a strong, sticky string touch his hand.
What's that?
Ah, it's a huge spider thread. Oh! There it is, right up on the tree above me. It wants to get me in its web and eat me. Horrible thing. It's huge. Well, my old blade was meant for goblins. Let's hope it works against spiders. Ah, it's going to jump on me. You hideous thing. You see how you like that? It's dead. It's dead. I've killed it. All alone I've killed it. No Gandalf or dwarves to help me. I've killed it. My trusty sword. You saved my life. I'll give you a name. I shall have to call you, yes. Sting. Sting, that's what I'll call you. Sting, that's a good name for a sword. Oh, dear, dear. Now, I must explore. Which way? Oh, which way? Yes, well, I'll just have to guess and trust to luck. Oh, why didn't we remember Bjorn's advice and Gandalf's? What a mess we're in now. We? I only wish it was we. Oh, it's horrible being all alone. Oh, more spiders. They've got there hanging from that branch. They look like cocoons, as any. Not of them. 13! 13! They've captured the dwarves. They must have surprised them and knocked them out with those poisonous stings. What can I do? I'll put the ring on my finger. If it made me invisible to goblins, it should make me invisible to spiders. There's time to wait. Well, I was always good at throwing stones. Let's see what my employers make of this. Good shot, Mr. Baggins. Don't get clean off his bird. He's dead, too. I didn't wonder. Stop moving. Spinning in a tree. Oh, but spiders can't see me. I've got other questions. You stop. Stop those spinning and look for me. Now, I must try and get the dwarves. Cut them free before the spiders give up the chase.
Me? Bilbo.
Oh, I mustn't forget to take the ring off.
I'll get you all three. Don't you worry. Now, which one's this? Oh, I should know this note. Oh. Darling, should have known. You all right? You look a bit blue.
Yes, I am all right. Thank you, Mr. Baggett.
Look, have you got your knife?
Knife?
Yes, your knife.
Yes.
Good. Well, look, cut some of the others loose. It won't take the spiders long to realize they're chasing a will o' the wisp and they'll be rushing back here. There you are, Bomber. You're the last.
Oh, of course. Glad you leave me to last. Oh, these horrible friends.
They'll be back in a moment. Now look, all of you. You get stones, sticks, your swords, and knives, anything you can lay your hands on. It's going to be a stiff fight. There are hundreds of them. But with a bit of luck, there should be a match for them. Now, I'm going to disappear.
What? Disappear?
With this, my magic ring.
With a magic ring?
Oh, yes. I was going to keep it a secret, but I found it in the Goblin's cave. When I put it on, it makes me invisible. That's how I managed to rescue you.
Well, what's your plan?
Well, I'll disappear. Yes, I'll disappear. I'll disappear, and I'll try to draw the spiders off in this direction, you see. And you run that way, and then I'll try and meet up with you later.
No, right? We can't let you.
No, Sider. Here they come. Go on, quick. I'll do it, Steve. Go on, up you go.
Run, my dwarf!
You've outrun them, then.
Yes, we've escaped, thanks to you.
Well done, Mr. Baggins.
A cheer for our burglar.
Rahul!
What a battle. We must have killed hundreds between us.
This is a battle for the legend.
No, don't look.
What is it?
I think it's wood elves. Armed.
Armed?
But we are too weak to fight any.
Oh, I don't think they'll harm us, Barley. They are elves, after all. Look, but I'll put my ring on, just in case. Get out of the way of it.
Good idea. What is it you want, wood elves?
Nothing. We stand to talk with you.
You will come with us. Lay down your arms.
I say we fight them.
No, perhaps they'll be kind and give us food. No,
very well, then, very well. We mean no harm, elves. Come, dwarves. Now let us go with the elves. At least they may guide us out of this accursed forest.
Follow us, then. They need no ropes here. There is no escape from my magic door for those who are once brought inside.
What have we done, O King? Is it a crime to be lost in the forest, to be hungry and thirsty, to be attacked by spiders?
Huh?
Are spiders your pets, that killing them makes you so angry?
It is a crime to wander in my realm without leave. Do you forget that you were in my kingdom, using the path that my people made? Did you not twice attack my people?
We never did.
You attacked my people at their merrymaking in the forest and roused the spiders with your riot and clamor. Now, I have a right to know what brings you here. Well, as you wish. I shall keep you all in prison until you have learned sense and manners. Oh, no. Take them to the cell.
Take them away.
And what of Mr. Baggins? True, he had managed to slip inside the Elf King's palace. But once inside, what was he to do? For days on end, he wandered about trying to discover a way of rescuing the dwarves.
Ah, but I did manage to discover where the dwarves' cells were.
Yes, and in the deepest and gloomiest dungeon of all, he found Taurin.
Taurin? Taurin? Taurin, are you in there?
Bilbo! Goodness, you found me. Where are the others?
They're in cells just above yours. I managed to keep out of sight with the ring.
Well done, Bilbo. Gandalf was right. You certainly have proved your worth.
Oh. Thank you, Torin. Thank you very much.
Has the Elven King discovered the reason for our quest?
No, I don't think so. I haven't heard any mention of Smaug or our treasure.
You mean my treasure? The dwarves' treasure. I don't trust these wood elves one little bit. If they think they can get a share of our gold, they... Well, when do we escape?
What?
What's your plan?
When do we... What's my... My dear Torin, I may have a magic ring, but I'm not a wizard like Gandalf.
No, of course, Mr. Maggins. But I know I can rely on you to free us.
Well, I'll do what I can. But I'm making no promises, you know. First of all, I have to do some more exploring. And then I'll come back and report.
Good luck, Mr. Maggins. For all our sakes.
What's this place? Oh, those barrels. Goodness. I wonder what they're for, those barrels.
You to drag me all the way down here? Oh, it's good, all right. The finest barrel of wine we've had yet. I shall be hard at work tonight clearing the cellars of the empty barrels. So I want you to join me in a drink to help the labor.
The finest barrel, eh?
Well, it wouldn't do to send up poor stuff for the feast. But perhaps it's my duty to taste it. Mind the trap door. It's rotten, and I shouldn't like to see the chief of the guard falling through into the street.
You must get it mended, then.
Yes. All in good time. Now, here.
Ah, oh, well then, this is the wine cellar. And they took the empty barrels through the trap door into the stream below. And where does the stream lead to?
Excellent, Galleon. Truly excellent. The Elking feast will be all the merrier for this Lake Town brew. Those lakemen are surely the masters of wine making.
They are.
Oh, a precious little
Lake Town. Well, if the barrels come from there, maybe the stream carries them back. It's a chance. I can't see any other, anyway. I wonder what Taurin will think of it.
Well, it's a desperate plan, Bilbo. But then so are circumstances. But how will you get the keys to the cellars?
Tonight, the Elven King is giving a feast. All elves are very fond of wine, and I imagine they'll all sleep pretty soundly when the banquet's over. Yeah. I hope to get them then.
Huh? I know we can rely on our burglar. Good luck, Bilbo.
Thank you. There you are, Tori. You're the last.
Good for you, Bilbo.
Quiet, all of you. What is the plan, Bilbo? I shall take you down to the wine cellars.
Of gold.
Yes, Bilbo. There are dozens of empty barrels there due to be dropped through a trapdoor into a stream which flows under these abyss. You will be in the barrels.
Oh, yes, that's all very well, but... Well, what then?
What then? I don't know. I can only hope that the current will float the barrels to somewhere. Somewhere. I mean, where the lake men who make the wine will pick them up.
But we might be drowned.
Or bruised and battered to pieces. I'm not going into any barrels.
It's impossible. Oh, we cannot do it.
Very well. You go back into your nice cells, and I'll lock you in again, and you can sit there comfortably and think of a better plan.
There is no other way, and our quest must be fulfilled.
We will follow you, Tony.
Oh? We will follow the king. All right, then. Come on. You must get busy. Follow me, and be very, very quiet. Quiet! Bumble.
Yes.
You watch for the guards.
Yes.
The rest of you to the barrels. Over there.
Quiet.
Darling, darling.
Yes, sir.
Get the straw. Here you are, Bilbo. Good. Now, in you get. All of you. Call him. Get your stacking. I'll be all right. Get in. I'll put the ring on.
Lizzie. Darling, you ought to be here to show us what's to be done.
Oh, let's start without it. I've no wish to wait down here while the feast is still on.
All right. And these must be the barrels.
Yes.
And Galleon's own head be it. The king's best wine is pushed into the river.
And let's open the trap door. Oh, looks cold, doesn't it? Glad I'm not a barrel tonight.
Give us a hand, big one.
What shall I do? I have to creep to the edge of the trap door. Oh, it's one of the barrels and it drops down.
Oh, dear. I wish I was a better swimmer.
But I can't be left behind.
Oh, this. That's big letter and another cup of wine.
It won't be long. One more barrel to go.
Now!
Did you hear something?
No, what?
I thought I heard footsteps running across the floor.
Footsteps? A rat, very likely. Oh, you've had too much wine. Come on. Last one. Over she goes.
Witness of the current, he managed somehow to keep his grip on the rolling barrel.
Oh, I do hope those lids are on tight enough.
The barrels with their dwarvish contents passed swiftly under the elves' palace and out on towards Forest River. After the longest half hour in Bilbo's life, the barrels floated gently into the bank at a bend in the stream.
There they are, and about time too. I don't have to wait here all night.
Let's get them on board then.
All right. All right.
This is a big load. You're all as heavy as this, they'll sink the boat.
Don't climb on board while they're loading up. The lids are stuck on, all right. Perhaps the dwarves are all drowned or battered to death.
Right away.
The day grew lighter and warmer as they floated along. After a while, the shores sank to river level. The trees ended, and then Bilbo saw a sight.
Lonely mountain.
Far away, its dark head in a torn cloud, loomed the peak that Bilbo had been half hoping, half dreading to see since the adventure started all that time ago. The home of the dragon Smaug and the dwarves' long-lost treasure. The sun had set by the time they reached the lake town of Esgaroth, a town that had been built after the destruction of Dale by the dread Smaug. The boat gently eased into a little bay between the town and the shore, for Esgaroth was built entirely over the waters of the lake. There, the boatmen moored the boat and left wearily for their homes and their beds. And Bilbo set about releasing the dwarves.
You stupid hobbit. I am sure I am second blue all over.
Really?
Now, look. Now, will you listen?
Dwarves, listen. Are you still in prison or are you free? Well, I mean, all this moaning and groaning and where's your gratitude? I mean, yes, do you think I enjoyed the trip down the river? Shame on you, shame on you. I'm only a hobbit, and you're dwarves. You ought to know. You're supposed to be brave warriors. Warriors? Now, you stop all these foolish complaints and let us consider what is next to be done.
Eh? Well, Mr. Baggins, what do you think is our next move?
I suggest we go into Esgaroth.
Huh? What, at this time of night?
Certainly. Perhaps the lake bed will give us food and shelter.
Yes, I agree. Let us make ourselves known. I am grandson of the last king under the mountain. Esgaroth and all these lands are part of my domain. I shall enter in upon my inheritance.
That'd be nice.
Come to the gates of Lake Town.
All right. Come along, all of you.
Son of Thrain, son of Thor, king under the mountain. I wish to see the master of this town.
King under the mountain? Who are your companions?
These are my faithful followers of the race of Durin. Mr. Baggins, the hobbit, who has traveled with us out of the west.
But yes. The master is feasting.
Let us have no more words, or your master may have something to say to you. Come! Let your king enter.
Very well. Open the gates. Open the gates.
Now we shall.
Captain of the guard, with six of his men, led them over the bridge, through the gates, and into the marketplace of the town. From a great hall shone many lights, and there came the sound of many voices. The dwarves stood at its doors, blinking in the light, and looking at the long, crowded tables.
What is this?
I am Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thor, king under the mountain. I return.
Captain, what means this? Who are these creatures?
Master, I think these are the prisoners who escaped from the Elven King.
Oh. Is this true?
It is true that we were wrongfully waylaid by the Elven King and imprisoned without cause. But neither lock nor bar may hinder the homecoming spoken of old. Nor is this town part of the Wood Elves' realm, but part of the ancient Dwarves' kingdom, which now I claim.
Master, he speaks truly, Master. Thror was our king before Smaug destroyed the old town. Our king is come.
They shall be avenged.
The dwarves were welcomed in the town amid scenes of astonishing enthusiasm. Large house was given up to Thorin and his company, and crowds sat outside and sang songs all day and cheered if any dwarf so much as showed his nose.
Yeah, but I was not feeling particularly cheerful. I had not forgotten the sight of the mountain. Nor could I put thoughts of the dragon out of my head.
At the end of a fortnight, Thorin began to think of departure. Autumn was now getting far on. The leaves were falling and the winds were cold. It would not do to allow the townspeople's enthusiasm to cool with delay. But at least one person was not sorry to see them go. The master of the town.
The sooner this dwarf and his followers are gone, the better. Let them go and bother Smaug and see how he welcomes them. But what if Smaug gets angry and takes it into his head to attack the lake town and destroy us as he did Dale? Yes, the sooner they're gone, the better.
And so, one morning, three large boats left Asgardoth, laden with rowers, dwarves, Mr. Baggins, ponies, and plenty of provisions. The townspeople sang and cheered from the quay as the adventurers started north on the last stage of their journey.
Person thoroughly unhappy was me.
In 2 days, they rode to the northern tip of the Long Lake, where the river running led straight to the lonely mountain. They could all now see it, towering, grim, and tall before them. At the end of the third day, they drew into the bank and disembarked, for the rowers would row no further. The ponies were loaded, the lakemen said farewell. Bilbo, Thorin, and the dwarves set out for the regions known as the Desolation of the Dragon.
We all knew that we were drawing near to the end of the journey, and that it might be a very unpleasant end.
All the same, they reached the foot of the mountain on the fourth day without mishap, and without seeing any signs of the fiery dragon.
Thorin!
Yes, Balin, what is it?
Over there! When the river comes out of that great cavern in the mountainside, That must be the south gate that the lake men told us about.
They also told us that it was Smaug's front door. So let us make our way to the western face of the mountain and look for the hidden side door. If my grandfather's map is true, the entrance will be high up. So we have some climbing to do, my friends. Come, let us move away from these dark birds. They look like the spies of evil. And courage, dwarf, forward!
After yet another hard and difficult journey, the spirits lowering by the hour, the company made camp in a long valley on the western side of the mountain. Day by day, in parties, they toiled up and down the craggy mountainside searching for the secret door. And day by day, they came back to their camp without success. But at last, unexpectedly, they found steps cut into the rock, leading upwards and out of sight.
Oh, this staircase seems to be going on forever. It's getting very narrow, too.
You can see the ponies down there.
Oh, I'd rather not look if you don't mind it. Rather a long way down.
The steps are opening out into a sort of ledge. Can we rest here, Tari?
Oh, we can't go any further, so we might as well.
Any further? Why not?
Well, look ahead. This is as far as the steps lead to this little shelf here.
Well, then this must be the secret side door.
What must be?
Oh, yeah, this cliff face.
But there is no keyhole, no doorpost or lintel to be seen. It is as smooth as glass.
Exactly. It's too smooth. The rest of the mountain is rough and pitted. This surface is as smooth and upright as mason's work. I mean, look, even the color's different. It's gray and the rest of the mountain's black.
You're right, Bilbo. This was fashioned by craft, not by nature. Come, my dwarves. Let us see if we can open it. All push, now get your shoulders to it. All together. Now. And again. Now.
Don't push me.
And again.
Oh, it's no good, Tari.
Now, don't give up so easy. Again, all together. Now.
Never move. Not if we go at it for hours. It is solid rock.
Back in on his door.
What now, Bilbo? I said, what now?
What now? Yes. Ah, yes, well, that's just what I was wondering. What now? Yes. What now?
That is just what I
believe him, be, Balin.
It's getting cold.
Yes, today is the last day of autumn.
And winter comes after autumn. Of course! Durin's Day.
What's this about Durin's Day?
When the last moon of autumn and the sun are in the sky together. Today is the last day of autumn, and the sun is still up, and look.
New moon.
But what difference does it make what day it is?
There's the thrush.
That was right. It's only an old thrush knocking a snail against the rock. And it's too quiet, all of you.
Magic is afoot. You remember? Elrond told us the moon letters on the map said, stand by the grey stone when the thrush knocks, and the setting sun with the last light of Durin's day will shine upon the keyhole.
And today is Durin's day. There is the thrush knocking on the grey stone. Now we must wait for the sunset. The thrush is waiting too.
The moon is risen. The darkness is closing in. The sun is sinking fast.
But it's setting behind clouds. How can it shine upon the keyhole?
No, look. There's a gap in the clouds. See, the sun is shining on the stone. A hole. There's a little hole in the rock.
Yes. The thrush has gone.
The key, Dorian. Your grandfather's key. Yes. Before the sunset.
Oh, come on.
The key. The key.
Here. It fits. Now, everyone, push. We found it!
Quiet! Quiet!
We'll forget where we are.
This is a lonely mountain, and somewhere through that door, I smell.
Yes, you're quite right, as usual, Mr. Baggins. Quite right. Well, my dwarves, now is the time for our esteemed burglar to perform the service for which he was included in our company.
Yes.
Now is the time for him to earn his reward.
Earn my reward? What do you mean? You think it's my job to go into the secret passage first? Oh, Torrin Oakenshield, may your beard grow even longer. Well, you can say so at once and have done with it. I could refuse, you know. However, I don't think I shall. Perhaps I have begun to trust my luck more than I used to. Gandalf often said I had more than my share. So, I think I will go. And have a peep. And get it over. Wait here.
Well, good luck, Bilbo.
Good luck. Be careful. Come back safely.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I have the magic ring. I shall wear it, and I shall go to Smaug's cavern and see what he's up to.
Oh, dear me. What a fool you are, Bilbo Baggins. What use have you got for dragon guarding treasures? Oh, if only I could wake up and find this beastly tunnel was my own front hall at home. What's that light? That must be a fire. Whew, it's certainly getting warm. What's that?
Smaug! And there, fast asleep, he lay. A vast red-gold dragon, wisps of smoke and flame thrusting from his jaws and nostrils, his huge tail coiled, and his great bat-like wings folded. Beneath him and about him on all sides of the immense cavern which was his home lay countless piles of precious things, gold wrought and unwrought, gems and jewels, and silver red-stained in the ruddy light. There were coats of mail, helms and axes, swords and spears, and rows of great jars and vessels filled with a wealth that could not be guessed. Bilbo's heart was pierced with enchantment and with the desire of dwarves, and he gazed motionless at the gold beyond price and count, almost forgetting its frightful guardian.
Well, I smell you and feel your hair. I hear your breath. Help yourself. There is plenty and to spare.
No, thank you. Smaug, the tremendous. I didn't come for presents. I only wished to have a look at you and see if you were as great as the tales say.
And am I?
Truly, songs and tales fall utterly short of reality. Smaug, the chiefest and greatest of all calamities.
Who are you? And where do you come from, may I ask? I know the smell of dwarves, no one better.
I am the friend of bears and the guest of eagles. I am the clue finder and the ring winner. I am the luck wearer and the barrel rider.
Lovely title, to be sure. But what are you, thief barrel rider? I don't know your smell.
Well, you don't know everything. Oh, Smaug the Mighty.
Is that so? Well, I certainly know that you're here to steal my treasure.
Wrong? Smaug the Dreadful.
Surely. Oh, smiled the unaccessibly wealthy. You must realize that your success has made you some bitter enemies. We have come over hill and under hill by wave and wind for revenge.
Revenge? The king under the mountain is dead. And where is he that seek revenge? The Lord of Dale is dead. And where are his sons that dare approach me? I kill where I wish, and none can resist. I laid low the great warriors of old when I was young and tender. Now I am old and strong. Strong, even the shadows.
Yes, I have always understood that dragons were softer underneath, especially in the chest.
Your information is antiquated. I am armored above and below with iron scales and hard gems. No blade can pierce me.
Truly, there can be nowhere found the equal of Lord Svalg the Impenetrable. What magnificence to possess a waistcoat of fine diamonds.
Yes, it is rare and wonderful indeed. Lord, what do you say to that?
Dazzlingly marvelous. Perfect.
Rolling over like a dog at his age.
Look, there's a large bare patch over his left breast.
Flawless! Staggering! Well, I must not detain your magnificence. Ponies need some catching, I believe, after a long start. And so do burglars.
Thief, I heard you run up the tunnel. It is well for you that it is too small for me to follow. Barrel Rider, I don't know your smell, but if you are not one of those men of the lake, you had the help. They shall see me. And remember who is the real king under the mountain.
Bilbo! It is Bilbo!
Come on, Sir Bilbo, come back. Come and sit down here, buddy.
I think I'll just stand here.
Be quiet, you stupid old fright.
Now, Bilbo, have you discovered anything?
Yes, I have. Smaug has a bare patch in his armor, just over the left breast. A champion archer might be able to kill him with an arrow in there.
Well done, Bilbo. Anything else?
Yes, he's guessed that we came from Lake Town. He'll be going there for revenge. He also knows where we're hiding, so our only hope is to keep well in the tunnel and close the door.
Yes. Tell me, Bilbo, when you saw the treasure, did you see the Arkenstone?
What's that? Arkenstone? What's that?
It was the dwarves' greatest treasure, a great white gem, the Arkenstone of Thrain. It was like a globe with 1,000 facets. It shone like silver in the firelight. Like water in the sun, like snow under the stars, like rain upon the moon.
It's flying this way.
Into the tunnel. Marlin, stand by the door. Fly away, old trash, before you're caught. Everybody in. Under the door, quickly.
It's giving way.
Oh, no.
Get further down the tunnel.
Now, he's laughing. Why?
Why? Because he's trapped us. That's why.
Trapped?
He smashed the entrance to the tunnel.
Oh, no.
We're trapped.
Down the tunnel once again. Yes, I mean, after all, the only way out is down, isn't it? Yes. So I think this time you'd better all come with me.
Now, come, my wolves, come. Mr. Baggins is right. It is the only way.
Quite right.
But you seem very cheerful about it, Bilbo.
Yes, I know. I can't explain it. Yes, it must be simply burglar's luck. Now, come along. Down the tunnel, all of you.
And be quiet
as you can. And do be careful. The treasure cabin is just round this corner. There's no red glow, so I don't think Smaug is at home. All right. Now, all of you, wait. Wait here while I go and see. Come on, Tony.
All right.
Yes. Come along in. It's all right. All clear. You can light the torches.
Light the torches.
But what if Smaug comes back?
Then we'll have to run back into the tunnel.
The torch is ready, Torrin.
Then let us go into the treasure. Hold the torches aloft. Many long years have we dreamed, my dwarves. But never, never have any of us dreamed of such beauty and the vastness of the hoard. Gold, my dwarves! It's gold! Gold!
And silver! And rubies!
And silver!
And silver!
Fill your pockets. Take all you can carry.
Well, thank goodness you're satisfied about something. But, ooh, what's this?
The Arkansas. It must be.
Torrin described it exactly. Fairest gem of all the dwarfish treasure.
Oh, yes,
very beautiful. I must give it to Torrin. I'll put it in my pocket. Now I am a burglar indeed. I will tell the dwarf about it, of course, sometime. But I just for the brief, I'd like to keep it to myself. It's really very, very beautiful.
Mr. Baggins!
Yes?
Here is the first payment of your reward.
Oh?
Cast off your old coat and put this on.
Oh, but I've... Oh, thank you. Oh, what is it?
It's a coat of mail made by elves of silver steel, which they call Mithril.
Oh. Oh, thank you. It's very light, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, and very strong. It is protected by magic. Ooh. There are few such coats left in these days. Mm-hmm. So it is worth far more than its weight in gold.
Oh, thank you, Torrin. Yes. I'll take my coat. Feels magnificent. I expect I look rather silly in it. I wish there was a looking glass handy.
The treasure is not yet won. Yes, we have found it, true enough, but we have not found a way of escape. Yes, it is 100 years since I was last in my grandfather's halls, but not for 1,000 years could I forget the ways of this place. From here, we can make our way to the great chamber of Thrall, and from there to the front gate. Now follow me. This is where the river comes out of the south side of the mountain.
Well, I never expected to be looking out of Smaug's front door.
Now, we have 4 or 5 hours hard march ahead of us.
Oh.
Yes, yes. There is an old lookout post at the southwest corner of the mountain. From there, we can see in all directions.
But what if Smaug spots us there?
We should be safe enough, Balin. There is a chamber cut into the mountain face behind the ledge. It was made to house a watchman. There is room for us all, and we'll be quite snug there. But it is a hard path, so let us waste no more time. We do not want Smaug to catch us out in the open.
I wonder where Smaug is.
After blocking the entrance to the side door, Smaug was very, very angry. No one had dared oppose him for many an age, and someone would have to pay. The intruders had come from the lake town. And so it was that the fiery dragon turned in all his might and fury and menace towards Escaroth.
Look! Look at the lonely mountain! The lights again! Perhaps the king under the mountain is forging gold. It is time the songs began to prove themselves again.
Which king are you talking about? As like as not, it is the fire of the dragon. The only king under the mountain any of us can remember.
Ah, you are always foreboding gloomy things, Bob. You may be the finest archer in Lake Town, but it seems to make you very sour company, my friend. Talk of something cheerful. Look at those lights now. Are they lovely?
You fools! I must go and see the master.
But it's the king! The king under the mountain!
Master! Master!
Bob, give the breath back. Here, have some wine. Sit out here at the window and watch the lights in the mountain. Aren't they lovely?
Master, the dragon is coming.
What?
Those lights. It's Smaug, and he's coming here. Or I'm a fool.
Smaug? Oh, no. Sound the alarm. Top of the room. Stand there, man. Get your
asses
together.
They are grown up for
trifles. Oh, good.
Swarm! Swarm! Stand fast, people. No man can withstand Smaug.
We are doomed. Run and hide. Swim for the shore.
Stand to your post. Fight for your town. They shall be avenged, whatever the cost.
The people are being put to the mainland.
I shall not leave. I am of the race of Gilead.
Lord of Dale and Medellin. My gracious here to fight and to die for the crown of Libby. It's your last horse, I'm a champion. Farewell.
Farewell, bud. Farewell.
One arrow left. Yes, I feel to the last. Black Arrow, you have never failed me, and I have always recovered you. What is it, old pal? What tidings do you bring? The dragon's left breast. Thank you, good fast. Thank you. Oh. I see it. I see the hollow. Black Arrow. To your mark.
Mount's wounded. Can't be moved. It is. Look. He's falling. He's falling on Escaron!
Strange is happening, I'm sure of it. Where is Smaug?
Yes.
And look at those flocks of birds.
What?
It is time for their autumn wanderings. Why do they stay?
And all about the mountain, there are many carrion birds. As if a battle were afoot.
Hey,
there's that old thrush again. Look. He's trying to tell us something.
If only he were a raven. We dwarves can speak with ravens.
What?
Ah, he's gone.
I knew many ravens of the rocks hereabouts when I was a dwarf lad. Just above this very guard chamber, there lived a wise and famous pair, old Kark and his wife. But I don't suppose that any of that ancient breed linger hereabouts now.
Hey, the thrush is coming back for you. Look at him. He's bringing a raven with him.
And a very old raven, to be sure. Look at his bald head and see how slowly his wings...
Son of Thorndale, son of
Thorndale, I am Rock,
son of
Kark. Son of Kark, you are indeed welcome.
It is 100 years and 53 since I came out of the egg, but I do not forget the king of old. I bring you tidings, some of joy to you, others you will not think so good.
Say on, O Rock, son of Kark.
Birds are gathering back again to the mountain. The bird has gone out. The Smaug is dead.
Dead? Smaug dead?
Yes, thrush. May his feathers never fall. Saw him killed in battle. The men of Escaros. He was stopped by Bard, the chief archer, a grim man, but true.
Smaug dead? The dragon killed him, you hear, dwarves? My dwarves, Smaug is dead!
So much for joy. Joy is no concealed. But many are gathering here beside the birds. The news of the death of the dragon has already gone far and wide. And the legend of the wealth of Thrall has not lessened in the telling during many years. Many are eager for a share of the spoil. Already, a host of wood elves is on its way to Mirkwood with their king.
Wood elves? Wood elves?
They have gone to give aid to the men of Escaroth, whose town is no more. Many of the townsfolk have died. By the lake, men murmur that their sorrows are due to the dwarves. They do think to find the men's from your treasure.
They must think
wisdom must decide your course. But if you will listen to my counsel, you will not trust the master of the Lickman, but rather him that killed the dragon, Bard the Bowman. Somehow he escaped alive for the rest of Lake Town, and he is saved as here once killed of his people. He called for him to be their king, but he is loyal to the memory of the race of Turin. We would see peace once more among dwarves and men and elves after the long desolation. But it may cost you dear in gold.
None of our gold shall they have.
Ah, thanks, Rock, son of Kark. If you would earn our thanks still more, I beg of you to send your fastest and strongest messengers to my cousin dying in the Iron Hills of the North. For he has many fierce warriors well armed and dwells nearest to this place. Bid him hasten to us.
I will not say if his counsel will be good or bad, but I will do what can be done. Farewell.
Farewell, Rock. Farewell, Thrush. Now, my dwarf, back to the front gate. I must build our defenses, and there is little time to lose. Right, bend your backs to it.
The king beneath the mountains, the king of carven stone, the lord of silver fountains.
The dwarves labored hard in fortifying the front gate. But since this was now the only way out of the mountain, it was also the only means of access to the treasure. As they worked, the ravens brought news that the joint armies of the lake men and wood elves were hurrying towards the mountain. In 4 days they would arrive. And in 4 days the hastily thrown up but solid barrier across the front gate was ready. The only way into the mountain was by climbing over the walls. The dwarves did themselves with ropes and ladders.
I didn't like the way things were going at all.
Who are you that come armed for war to the gates of Thorin, son of Thrain, king under the mountain?
Hail, Thorin. Will it right that you and your companions are alive beyond our hope? There is matter for a folly and a council.
Who are you? And of what would you parley?
I am Bard, the bowman of Edgaroth. And by my hand was the dragon slain and your treasure delivered.
So we learn.
I am the heir of Gideon, lord of Dale. And in your hoard is mingled much of the wealth of that town which Smaug destroyed. I will speak for the men of Edgaroth and ask whether you have no thought for their misery and distress. They aided you in your need, and in recompense you have brought only ruin.
We are just in all things, but nothing will we give under threat of force. I will not parley with armed men at my gate. Not at all with the people of the Elven King, whom I remember with small kindness.
The Elven King is my friend, and has succored the people of the lake in their need.
Enough! In this debate he has no place. Be gone now, ere our arrows fly.
One moment more. These are our terms. Herald.
In the name of Esgaroth and Mirkwood, we speak unto Thorin Oakenshield, king under the mountain. We bid him consider well these claims, or be declared our foe. At the least, he shall deliver 1/12th portion of the treasure unto Bard, as the dragon slayer and the heir of Gideon, from which Bard will himself contribute to the relief of the men of the lake, and to the rebuilding of a new town.
Here is my answer. My next arrow will be aimed not at your shield, but at your head.
We will give you time to repent your words. I declare the mountain besieged. You shall not depart from it until you call on your side for a truce and a parley. We leave you to your gold. Eat that if you will.
Time behind the barricade passed slowly and wearily. until at last news came of Tarin's cousin, Dain, from the Iron Hills. He was only 2 days' march away and was bringing with him more than 500 armed dwarves. This was the moment for Bilbo's plan.
Oh, yes. I decided to take the Arkenstone over to the enemy. Not that I thought of them as the enemy, but those dwarves were so stubborn. Thorin had often said that the Arkenstone was beyond price to him. In fact, he'd made it very clear that anyone finding it and not handing it over to him straight away would be dealt with very sharply. Very sharply indeed.
But so determined was Bilbo to stop any fighting before it started. That evening he took the Arkenstone from its hiding place, wrapped it in a rag, and climbed over the barricade down towards the lower course of the stream. He was nearly across when he missed his footing on a round stone and fell into the cold water.
Who goes there?
What? I'm Mr. Bilbo Baggins, B-A-double-G-I... Companion of Thorin Oakenshield, if you want to know.
Companion of Thorin? And what might be your business?
Yes, well, whatever it is, it's my own. My good elves. And if you ever wish to get back to your woods, you'll take me to the bard or whatever his name is, and to your king as quick as may be.
Brave words, hobbit.
Yeah.
Very well. Follow us.
Yes, buck up.
Yes, dripping wet, in a coat of mithril. What's he doing here? What is he? This is their tent. Enter.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's Bilbo Baggins.
Fair hobbit. He said he wished to speak with you, my lord.
It is. And what have you to say to us, Mr. Baggins?
Mr. Bard, your Majesty, sire, yes. you see, it's about this impossible situation. Smaug is dead. There's more than enough treasure for everyone, and yet it looks as though all these people, the men, elves, and the dwarves, are going to fight over it. And, I mean, if they're going to fight over it, well, someone is bound to be killed.
Quite ready to accept any reasonable terms that Thorin may offer. He has heard our demand and has not seen fit to reply.
Yes, well...
Need be no battle.
Well, with the humblest respect, the King of the Wood Elves doesn't know the King of the Dwarves as well as I do.
Indeed?
No. You see, Thorin is quite prepared to sit on that heap of treasure and starve as long as you remain here.
Well, let him. Such a fool deserves to starve.
Yes, but do you know about Dain and his followers from the Iron Hills? They're only 2 days' march away, you know.
We knew of Dain, but not that he was so close. Why do you tell us this?
Well...
Are you betraying your friends, or are you threatening us?
No, neither, Mr. Bard, neither. I'm merely trying to avoid trouble for all concerned. Yes. Now, I will make you an offer.
An offer?
What is it?
Well, it's... this. This is the Arkenstone of Train, the heart of the mountain. It is also the heart of Thorin. He values it above a river of gold. I give it to you. It will aid you in your bargaining.
But how is it yours to give?
Well, it isn't exactly. But, well, I am willing to let it stand against all my claim, don't you know? I mean, I may be a burglar, or so they say. Personally, I never felt in the least bit like one, but I am an honest one, more or less, I hope. Anyway, I'm going back now, and the dwarves can do what they like to me. I hope you'll find it useful.
Bilbo Baggins.
Yes?
You are more worthy to wear that coat of mithril than many who have looked more comely in it.
Oh, yeah, thank you, my lord king.
But I advise you to remain with us.
Oh, no, I'm...
Here you shall be honored and thrice welcome.
Well, it's most kind of you, I'm sure, but I don't think I want to leave my friends like this after all we've been through together, you know. I really must be going, and quickly.
As you wish. My elves will guide you to a safe ford across the stream. And set you dry on the other side.
Oh, thank you. Most kind. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Baggins.
Good night, Mr. Bard.
Good night, little hobbit. May fortune bring us together again.
Yes.
Soon.
See that, dwarves? They're sending another embassy to parley with us. They'll have got wind of Dain's coming with his troops. I thought that might alter their mood.
They are not sending a herald this time. Bard is coming closer. And there's the elven king. Old man with them, holding a box. Who is he? And what do you suppose is in the box?
Well, Torrin, are you still of the same mind regarding our terms?
Did you come to ask me idle questions? Still the elf host has not departed as I bade. Till then, you come in vain to parley with me.
Is there then nothing for which you would yield any of your gold?
Nothing that you or your friends have to offer.
What are the contents of this box? Open it, old man. What of this?
The Arkenstone. The Arkenstone.
That stone was my father's and is rightly mine. Why should I purchase my own? How came you by the heirloom of my house? If there is need to ask such a question of thieves.
We are not thieves.
How did you come by it?
Your own we will give back in return for ours.
Where did you find it?
There need be no bloodshed.
How did you come by it?
It was me, Torrin.
What?
Me. I gave it to him.
You? You gave it, you miserable hobbit.
You, don't strike me, Torrin.
You undersized burglar. Oh. By the beard of Durin, I wish I had gone down here.
I only tried.
Curse him for his choice of you. May his beard wither.
Oh, Torrin, you're hurting me.
Hurting you? I will kill you, you wretched creature.
No. Put me down.
Hold on to the rocks, will you? Of you. May his beard wither.
Oh, no. Oh, Torrin, you're hurting me.
Hurting you? I will kill you, you wretched creature.
No. Put me down.
Hold on to the rocks with you.
Your wish is granted, Torrin. Stay your hands, I'm afraid.
What?
Torrin, the old man holding the Arkenstone. It is Gandalf. If you don't like my burglar, please don't damage him. Just put him down.
Very well. Go down to your friends, you descendant of rats, before I change my mind and hurl you down.
Oh, yes, of course. Goodbye.
Torrin, we will give you until tomorrow. At noon, we will return and see if you have brought from the hoard the portion that is to be set against the stone. If that is done without deceit, then we will depart, and the elf host will go back to the forest. Meanwhile, farewell!
Torrin, are you going to give in to them?
Give in? Don't be a fool. Send for Roach. Bid him take word to my cousin Dane to come with his dwarves at the greatest speed possible.
Mr. Bard, your majesty.
What is it, Bilbo?
An army of dwarves is approaching.
Thank you, Bilbo. My lord king, it is surely Dane and his dwarves. They must have marched double-faced through the night.
Horned by Thorin, somehow, I do not doubt.
Yes, as I thought. The inn approaches. Let the mighty dwarf pass. Hail! I am Bard of the Lakemen. This is the King of the Wood Elves.
Hail, Bard. Hail, Elven King. I and my dwarves are hasting to our kinsmen in the mountain, since we learn that the kingdom of old is renewed. But why do you sit as foes before defended walls?
We are waiting till noon for your cousin Thorin to fulfill his bargain.
Bargain?
1/12 of the dragon's treasure in exchange for the Arkenstone.
The Ark? You have the Arkenstone?
We do. Show him, Gandalf.
There. Oh. The heart of the mountain. You dare to bargain with the sacred stone?
To avoid battle, I do so bargain.
I ask for passage for my dwarves through your army. The way to the mountain is blocked.
You and your dwarves must stay where you are until midday.
We shall see. One dwarf!
Yeah, he's very angry.
The treasure will be claiming more lives today.
Do you think he means to fight us?
He is even now giving the signal for the dwarves to attack.
Men and elves, to your post!
To the attack!
Halt! Halt! Dread has come upon you all! It has come more swiftly than I guessed. To the north, that great black cloud, that like a sea of locusts, they fly above an army, the army of Bald!
Goblins!
Aye, goblins in their thousands, they ride upon wolves, and wargs are following.
Let Dane come into the council at once with Bard and the Elven King. We must join forces against the evil denizens of the north.
Upon victory depends not just the treasure, nor only our lives, but the whole future and well-being of Middle Earth.
They are forced!
Goblins, bats, wolves, the wild wands. On the other, elves, men, and dwarves. At first, victory seemed at hand. But sheer weight of numbers was too much even for the combined strength of Bard, Dane, and the Elven King. Slowly, they were driven back.
Gandalf! Gandalf, look! It's Thorin!
Here is four to drive down the valley. To me, elves and men! To me, oh, my king's host! To me, all of the gods! To the mother mind of Moria! To me, all of the gods! To me, all of the gods!
They'll all be killed!
I have tarried here long enough. And all my sword blundering, must leave goblins once again.
Oh, no, don't go, Gandalf. Don't leave.
Wear the magic ring, Gandalf. But keep well out of the way. The ring may make you invisible, but it won't save you from a chance arrow or a flying spear. Farewell until we meet again.
Don't go!
Keep back, my ring!
Gandalf will be slain. They'll all be slain. They must be. goblins are coming. He's got a can of the goblins to beat.
He's got enough of them.
What's that? It's Bjorn. Bjorn has come. The goblins. Bilbo Baggins, B-A-W...
It is well that I found you.
Are you much hurt?
But I have a nasty knock on the head, I think.
I will carry you down to the camp in the valley.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
You are needed. The day is won, but Keeley and Feely are dead, and Torin is grievously wounded.
Torin?
He asked for you.
Come on. Thank you.
From you, and I would take back my words and deeds at the gate.
Oh, no. Farewell, King Under the Mountain. This is a bitter adventure if it was then so. And a mountain in gold can amend it. Yet I'm glad that I shared in your perils. That's been more than any Baggins deserves.
No. No. There is more in you of good than you know, child of the kindly West. Some courage and wisdom blended in measure. If more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. But sad or merry, I must leave it now. Farewell.
Thank you, Torin. Farewell.
The Arkenstone upon your breast. Let it lie there until the mountain falls, and may it bring good fortune to all your folk that dwell hereafter.
In your tomb, Torin, lay are your sword, Orcrist. Never was it wielded by a mightier hand.
Assume my cousin's throne, I now assume his obligation. Torin has his Arkenstone, and I will honor the agreement of the dead. 1/14 of the treasure shall be given to Bard of the Lake Men. To you, King of the Elves, I give the Emeralds of Girion. And as for you, Bilbo Baggins, although you have laid aside your claim, we would give you something.
Oh, no, really, I couldn't.
I insist. You, I would reward most richly of all.
Oh, yes, but I... I suppose perhaps just two chests. One of silver, one of gold. That's
as much as I can manage.
Come, Bilbo, all is ready.
Farewell, Balin.
Farewell, Bilbo.
And farewell, Dwalin, and farewell to you all.
Farewell.
May your beards never grow thin.
Farewell, Corin Oakenshield, and Keely and Feely.
Goodbye, Bilbo, and good luck wherever you journey.
Thank you.
If you visit us again when our halls are made fair once more, then the feast shall indeed be splendid.
Ah, thank you, Balin. And if ever you're passing my way, don't wait to knock. Tea is at four, you know. But any of you are welcome at any time. Farewell.
Farewell.
The elf host was on the march back to Mirkwood. Bilbo and Gandalf rode behind the Elven King, and beside them stood Beorn, once again in man's shape, and he laughed and sang in a loud voice throughout the journey. At length, they drew near to the borders of the forest, where the river flowed out.
No further, Mr. Baggins, I think.
No.
Farewell, O Elven King. Merry be the greenwood while the world is yet young, and merry be all your folk.
Farewell, O Gandalf. Farewell, Beorn, my old friend. We see each other too soon.
Maybe we do. The cares of our domain keep us apart.
You must visit me in the spring.
With joy. The misty mountains contain precious few goblins to worry my animals now. Farewell.
Farewell, Beorn. Farewell. Farewell, Gandalf.
Farewell, Elven King.
Farewell, Bilbo.
Oh, farewell. Farewell, Goodwood Elf. Farewell. Bilbo. Yes, yes, honey. Bye.
By midwinter, Gandalf and Bilbo had come all the way back along the edges of the forest to Beorn's house, where they stayed for Yuletide, and indeed for many weeks after. It was an early spring morning, and a fair one with a bright sun, when they finally took their leave of the ancient and strange creature.
Yes, and with regret, I might add, for though I longed for home, Beorn's house had been so warm and merry and safe.
It was on May the 1st that the two came at last to the brink of the Valley of Rivendell. The High Elves came out to greet them and led them across the water to the house of Elrond.
Gandalf the Grey. And welcome, Bilbo Baggins. The burglar, I believe.
Yes, thank you, Elrond.
There are many eager ears waiting to hear of your adventures.
Ah, well,
but first, I have news for you. The necromancer has at last been driven from his hold in the south of Mirkwood.
By the wizards and masters of law?
The same. You knew of it.
Let us say I had a hand in the happenings in the south. Ere long now, the forest will grow somewhat more wholesome. The north will also be free from horror for many long years, I hope. Yet I wish the necromancer were banished from the world altogether.
It would be well indeed. But I fear that will not come about in this age of the world, or for many after. Now for your tale.
Yes,
and miss nothing out in the telling, my.
No. Well, it all began nearly a year ago when I called on Mr. Baggins here one tea time with 13 dwarves led by Taryn Oakenshield. I may say that the hobbit wasn't at all pleased to see us.
Well,
weariness fell from me in that place, and I had many a merry jest and dance early and late with the high elves of the valley. Yet even Elrond's house could not long delay me now, and I thought always of my own home.
After a week, therefore, Bilbo said goodbye to Elrond and rode away with Gandalf, the elf songs and light voices following them on the morning breeze. The day came at last when the travelers were in sight of the country where Bilbo had been born and bred, where the shapes of the land and of the trees were as well known to him as his hands and toes. Coming to a rise, he could see his own hill in the distance. He stopped suddenly.
Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star. Yet feet that wandering have gone turn at last to home afar. Eyes that fire and sword have seen, and horror in the halls of stone, look at last on meadows green and trees and hills they long have known.
My dear Bilbo, you are not the hobbit you were.
No. Come on,
Gandalf. Come on.
One autumn evening, some years afterwards, Bilbo was sitting in his study, writing his memoirs. He had just settled on the choice of a title.
To call it,
The Hobbit. No, it's a bit bored. There. And back again. A Hobbit's holiday. Holiday? What a holiday. No? I wonder who that can be.
Good gracious me. Oh dear, I'm a bit of Liberia. I wonder if I ought to put my ring on.
Gandalf! How good to see you. Come on in, come on.
Thank you, Bilbo. I've brought an old friend to see you.
A friend? Old friend?
Hello, Mr. Baggin. Barlin, eh?
Well, my dear Barlin. come on, both of you, come in.
Hang it,
Gandalf. I know where. Yes, you know. And you know, yeah. Gandalf. Hang it up. Come on. I'll sit down there. You remember? You know where to go.
Very well.
Well. Mm-hmm. Look, here, by the fire. That's it. Sit yourselves down. Go on. Make yourselves comfortable. Your kettle won't be long, and we'll all have a nice cup of tea. And a slice of seed cake. Fill your pipes, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bilbo. You are quite well.
Hmm?
Your waistcoat is a little more expansive.
What? Oh, I'm afraid so. Yes, well, your beard is several inches longer, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, tell me, how are things going in the land of the mountain? I think of you all so often.
I am happy to say that things are going very well.
Good.
The lake men have rebuilt Dale. Hmm? The valley is rich and fertile. And the desolation is now filled with birds and blossom in spring and feasting in autumn. Much wealth goes up and down the running river and the lake.
Hmm?
And there is the greatest of friendship between men and dwarves and the wood elves.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm so glad. But what of Bard? How's he?
Bard is the new master of the lake men.
He?
And very popular. For of course he gets most of the credit for the present prosperity. They are making songs which say that in his day the rivers run with gold.
Well, then the prophecies of the old songs have turned out to be true. I mean, you know, after a fashion.
But of course. And why should they not prove true?
Well, I mean, you don't
really suppose, do you, that all your adventures and escapes were managed by mere luck? Just for your sole benefit.
No, but I mean...
You're a very fine person, Mr. Baggins, and I am very fond of you. But you are only a little fellow in a wide world, after all.
Thank goodness. Ah, there's the kettle. So long. I'll make the tea.
Come down, Bill, go up here.
Right here, yes.
Green cake on the left. Hobbit
is bad
on the right.
Well, he would never get the publisher.
And Bilbo took to writing poetry and visiting the high elves. And though many shook their heads and said, poor old Baggins, and though few believed any of his tales, he remained very happy to the end of his days. And these were extraordinarily long.